Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 46 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Aleve Cold and Sinus. The city of Denver helps ring in the new year with a couple of fireworks shows tonight along the 16th Street Mall. The first will be at 9 p.m. with a second identical 12-minute show at midnight. It'll be tough to find parking, though, so alternate ways of getting to downtown Denver are highly recommended. As expected, law enforcement agencies will be out in force tonight to catch anyone who gets behind the wheel after having too much to drink. During last year's holiday season, 16 people were killed in Colorado, so more than 1,300 officers from 73 agencies across the state will be on the prowl for drunk drivers. RTD will be offering an alternate to driving under the influence, offering free bus service and light rail rides. Free rides start at 8 this evening and run until 3 a.m. on New Year's Day. Yellow Cab also giving free rides up to a $50 fare to those 21 and older who may have had too much to drink. 11 new Colorado laws take effect tomorrow. Among them, men will have to prove they have registered for the military draft before they can get into state colleges and universities. The state database listing child abusers is gone because it listed so many people who didn't belong there and repeated attempts at reform failed. Also, if patients ask, hospitals will have to quote a price for routine operations. Greeley Republican Senator Dave Owen sponsored that one after his wife spent more than $1,900 on elective surgery, not including doctor's fees. Later, they checked out prices for the same procedure and found it cost only $534 at St. Mary's Hospital in Grand Junction. Their hometown hospital could have done it for just over $900. Then again, it would have cost $2,200 at St. Mary's in Pueblo. Xcel Energy now admits fudging the figures to make Colorado power failures look shorter than they really were. The penalties will run at least $4.9 million. That's a record amount. That means rebates to customers, but that'll just take $4 off the average home light bill. In the first 9 months of 2003, the typical Xcel customer in Colorado lost electricity for almost 5 hours. But Xcel cut about 23% off that time in reports to the Public Utilities Commission. Xcel says it was a computer problem, not a deliberate lie. But in Minnesota this year, a state probe concluded that Xcel did submit false information on purpose, hoping to avoid fines in that state. At least 4 people have been killed after a suspected suicide bomb ripped apart a Baghdad restaurant jammed with New Year's Eve partygoers. Witnesses say the front of the restaurant in central Baghdad was destroyed and the building is on fire. They say at least 30 people were inside the restaurant when the bomb went off. The firm, once headed by Vice President Dick Cheney, Halliburton, has lost its contract to deliver gasoline to Iraq. The Washington Post reports Pentagon officials say this change is not related to allegations that a Halliburton subsidiary overcharged the government by at least $61 million. Laura Iyama has more.
Pentagon officials announced Halliburton's no-bid contract to import fuel to Iraq is over. Instead, a U.S. military unit will take over and open up Iraqi fuel contracts to competitive bidding from new private contractors. The U.S. military unit has been supplying fuel in Iraq to armed forces. The Pentagon officials told the Washington Post that the change in the gasoline contract has been discussed for months, and this is not due to the allegations that Halliburton overcharged the government for gasoline for Iraq, charges that Halliburton has denied. Laura Iyama, Washington.
The diet supplement ephedra has been found to pose an unreasonable health risk and has been banned by the Food and Drug Administration. Health Secretary Tommy Thompson says the decision was made only after a thorough review of more than 16,000 adverse reactions linked to ephedra.
There are just too many complications. There was high blood pressure. There was deaths, strokes, and heart attacks attributable to ephedra.
More than 60 manufacturers of ephedra-containing products are being urged to stop selling the items now. New claims for jobless benefits fell last week to their lowest level in nearly 3 years. The Labor Department said the number of Americans filing first-time claims for unemployment insurance fell last week by 15,000 to 339,000 for the week ended December 27th. The report was rosier than Wall Street had expected, although even with good news, stocks are mixed at this hour, the Dow up 6.6. 6. The NASDAQ down almost 7 points. The S&P 500 down about a quarter of a point. In sports, the Denver Nuggets will be out in L.A. tonight to take on the Clippers. Nuggets beat the Clippers when they last played in November. Colorado Avalanche head into Calgary tonight to take on the Flames. When the Avs played the Flames earlier this month, they skated to a 1-1 tie. Try non-drowsy Aleve Cold and Sinus and get 12 hours of relief from your tough cold symptoms with just one pill. Aleve Cold and Sinus. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Welcome aboard Airline, A&E's new real-life TV series that shows you all that can happen between here and there. For your viewing pleasure, I'd like to direct your attention to the antics of some of your fellow passengers.
May I please have 10 more ear sick bags? I'm wallpapering my living room.
Sir, please. Anyway, I hope you've got a craving for nuts, because there's probably one sitting in the seat next to you.
We all have our baggage. Airline arrives Monday nights at 10, 9 Central, only on A&E.
This message is for those of you who grind your teeth at night. The Doctor's Night Guard is the dental protector you wear at night to cushion your teeth. And because you fit it yourself, not your dentist, you will save money. However, it's not recommended you attempt to save money in other areas of dentistry, such as do-it-yourself bridge work, root canals, and drilling. But cushioning your teeth with the Doctor's Night Guard is, as one dentist put it, perfectly okay. Relieve the nightly grind with the Doctor's Night Guard in the oral care section.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time now to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Albertsons. Northbound I-25 after 120th, right at 128th, had a car hit a power pole, and they have two left lanes closed there as they try and clean that accident up. Only one lane getting by, and you are seeing a blackout in and around the area, so treat any intersections that are dark as a four-way stop. Watch for other problems. Savannah and Yale, 8th and Spear. Start the new year off right at Albertsons two-day sale going on now with 12 packs of 7-Up or Albertsons soda. Your choice, 5 for only $10. Albertsons, helping make your life easier. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
It's partly cloudy, 46 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the New Year's Eve edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. And we have a lot going on today, and I think we better get to it. First of all, there's a lot of terrorism anxiety over New Year's Eve celebrations all over the country. Warplanes are patrolling American skies. Apparently, gunships are patrolling the Strip in Las Vegas. New York mayor is saying that the celebration in Times Square is going to be okay, but a lot of people, congressmen, etc., say they wouldn't even go near any place where there is a New Year's Eve celebration. And so my question is, if everybody is this worried about some possible problems with terrorism and New Year's Eve, why don't they tell us what the reasons are? Why is there just all this fear around? I don't feel remotely frightened. Do you? I don't feel at all frightened about New Year's Eve in Denver, Colorado. Do you feel frightened about it? Why are there armed people in gunships on the Las Vegas Strip? I really don't understand that. Unprecedented security for New Year's celebrations. Warplanes have patrolled American skies, and international airlines are placing sky marshals on some flights Wednesday as fears of terrorist attacks cast a giant shadow over New Year's celebrations across the globe. What is that all about? Do they have specific information? If they have it, why don't we have it? Millions of New Year's revelers were expected to throng city centers across the world under a security umbrella raised amid fears of a terrorist attack, possibly involving something to do with airlines. Some international airlines responding to a U.S. warning of a possible attack by Islamic militants armed sky marshals on flights. Well, they're only on certain flights. Half of them aren't trained to shoot. I mean, it's the illusion that you have of security. but that you have various congresspeople saying that they're not going to be anywhere near, they're not going to get anywhere near any kind of a large gathering for New Year's Eve. Skip Times Square, Representative Christopher Shays, who's a Republican from Connecticut, offered his regrets, telling one New York newspaper that he would avoid the Times Square crowd because, quote, it is a tempting target for terrorists. I wouldn't go to Times Square. That is my opinion. It is one based on the reality that the government has declared a code orange. Air safety also worries Congressman Shays. I would not be flying from Europe to the U.S. in an airplane, he said. Shays, who chairs a House subcommittee that deals with terror issues, said officials should not make citizens think that despite the heightened terror alert, they need not take precautions. We need to be straight with people, he says. He especially ripped Homeland Security Secretary John Ridge's suggestion that people go on with their normal lives. When I hear someone say, there's a code orange, there's a high alert, but keep doing everything you're doing, then why bother to tell us, Christopher Shays says. The congressman's fears about tonight's festivities are, quote, totally unwarranted, said the New York Police Commissioner. We have better security than any place in the world on Times Square on New Year's Eve. So here is a Republican congressman who said he would not go to Times Square because of his security fears. 303-382-1150. Then you have an unprecedented amount of, Sky Marshals and so on. And you have, here's this in Las Vegas. Despite precautions, officials reiterate no specific threat has been uncovered. So there's no specific threat that we're aware of. Remember now, the administration has been castigated by various right-wing publications for manipulating the terror threat level on the basis of virtually no information at all. And what they're doing, apparently, is leaning on various security services to try to find some kind of a justification for raising the level to orange. Well, in Las Vegas, armed helicopters are going to be patrolling the restricted airspace over the Strip on New Year's Eve to protect Las Vegas from a potential terrorist attack. Are they standing in line to attack Las Vegas? Seems to me if you really wanted to attack Las Vegas, you go after the slot machines, etc. 303-382-1150. I feel perfectly safe in Denver. I don't think I'd be very surprised. I think we're fine. That's what I think. I think this orange alert level, without any kind of a specific threat being uncovered, is simply a way to frighten us. It's simply a way to make us more malleable. And there are really no shortages of dummies who are easily led by fear. And you have a lot of them who continue to support the administration in the face of the administration not acting in their own interest. 303-382-1150. A couple of weeks ago, or maybe a month ago, we had one of my favorite authors on, Joan Didion. She has written, The Book of Common Prayer. She's written Play It As It Lay. She is a screenwriter, but she also writes fabulous novels. She writes in a very spare way. Her husband just died very unexpectedly. They were having dinner together, and he just keeled over dinner. John Gregory Dunn, he is the brother of Dominic Dunn, who you read in Vanity Fair and who was really a commentator for the O.J. Simpson trial and is now being sued by Gary Condon. John Gregory Dunn, the journalist, screenwriter, and novelist who chronicled the Hollywood movie industry in his book, The Studio, then went on to write for film, died unexpectedly Tuesday evening as he sat down to dinner with his wife, author Joan Didion. He was 71. He died of a heart attack in the couple's New York home where the longtime residents of California had been living. Journalist David Halberstam, a longtime friend of John Gregory Dunn, said he was smart, edgy, talented, and straight. He hated fraud and duplicity. He could go on for hours about sunshine patriots who were enthusiastic about war but had never heard a shot fired in anger. In fact, that hypocrisy was a passion of his. He was writing a book on the subject when he died. Sunshine patriots. These are people who are enthusiastic about war but had never heard a shot fired in anger. Who do you think who would that refer to? Anybody that comes to mind just off the top of your head? 303-382-1150. Rex on the cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, that would refer to Doug Kellett. I mean, no offense to your station or anything, but I heard him the other day, and he was talking with some caller. They were chiming in together about, they were suggesting all these terrorists, these places where terrorists could attack, as if they were calling for it. I think those ultra-conservatives need a terrorist attack to keep the fear in people.
Well, I suppose that is exactly what George Bush is being accused of by right-wing publications, World Net Daily. They're quoting Capitol Hill Blue in saying that the threat levels have been manipulated with no specific threats that would cause the rise from yellow to orange. Why are we on orange alert? Nobody seems to know.
Well, they keep saying, okay, well, they can hit a mall, they could hit a soccer game, they could hit an NFL football game. And here he is. I mean, if you don't want something bad to happen, you don't talk about it like that. They actually want it to happen. That's the sense I get from that guy. You know, it's disgraceful.
Well, call him up and tell him yourself.
I will.
All right, Red.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thank you. Goodbye. Happy New Year. 303-382-1150. Who does the term Sunshine Patriot really refer to? Does it refer to the guy in the White House and his vice president, the two dicks, George W. Dick Bush and Dick Cheney, the two dicks in the White House? Neither one of them served, really. Cheney, not at all. George W., he went through some of the motions. W. Dick. Maybe I should call him W. Dick or Dick W., one of those two. It's more alliterative. What do you think? So, Sunshine Patriots. Well, in line with that story, did you see the... Here we are. We support the troops, right? In today's Rocky headline, report blasts rest home. Care for veterans falls short, health department claims. A state report on the Colorado State Veterans Home at Fitzsimmons reveals assaults on residents, poor care for, quote, weeping lesions and sores, overuse of drugs, and the kind of care that creates a potential for unnecessary physical declines. This is how, apparently, we have decided we are going to support our veterans. This is how we're supporting our military. The report was written by the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment in September. It says that Fitzsimmons officials failed to investigate the assaults, resident sexual encounters, and patient skin tears and bruises. A nurse's aide who had a previous record of abuse and neglect was working at the home, the report says. Although state officials had released a summary of the report, in October, its 118 pages reveal many more specifics. The medical staff, here are some of the findings. The medical staff ignored growing concern by the family of an 81-year-old man who had blood in his urine and an increasing temperature for 4 days. In fact, a doctor wouldn't even return a family member's calls. Staff failed to intervene and give the proper care to the patient or even ask him what he wanted, despite his being a stoic man who said he felt awful. He was finally admitted to the hospital for emergency care, but the family was never notified. A hospital doctor told the family that the patient's infection was, quote, one of the worst cases he had ever seen. Is this how we support our military? Is it how we support our military by chopping off the budget for military? Is that how we support our military, by trying to squeeze their benefits, by trying to cut back on what kind of combat pay they get? Is that how we support our military? Well, those of you who think George W. Bush is such a great military guy, such a stand-up guy, such a guy whose word is his bond, that's what he's trying to do. So he says one thing and he does another. I'm going to give you guys the same advice I give all my girlfriends. When they're going out with somebody new, I say, you know what? Forget what the guy says. Turn down the sound and just watch what he does. Forget what he tells you. Watch what he does. So I would say that about our regime in Washington. The staff failed to protect a particularly vulnerable 84-year-old patient with Alzheimer's disease who was being attacked by another patient. The facility hired a certified nurse's assistant who had a letter of admonition from the State Board of Nursing for abusing, harming, and neglecting a person under her care. Fitzsimmons administrators said they were unaware of the staffer's history. Don't they do a background check? An investigation to a patient's complaint that she had been slapped and pinched was launched only after the woman's family complained. An 85-year-old man had a skin tear, hip bruise, and other abrasions that staff labeled origins unknown. A report sent to the state health department revealed that a staff member tied the resident down in his wheelchair with a bedsheet. The staffer was fired. The report says the incident was not investigated properly. A woman who entered the facility with one sore on her leg had three weeping lesions within a month because nurses failed to treat the wounds. In fact, there was no evidence of treatment orders and no explanation. Is this what is meant by supporting our military? You tell me, 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Monica Lewinsky, she's not going to get reimbursed for her legal fees. I don't know why. I think she deserves to be. It's been decided that she's not entitled to be reimbursed for $1.1 million she spent in legal fees related to an independent counsel investigation of President Bill Clinton and his affair with her. This is according to a federal appellate panel ruling. The three-judge panel found that Lewinsky failed to meet the standard for reimbursement of her legal bills by U.S. taxpayers in such cases. The judges said Lewinsky could and likely would have been investigated by the Justice Department for perjury if independent counsel Kenneth Starr had not been looking into the matter. Here it was, a simple blowy, a simple little case of sex on the side, and it cost her $1.1 million in legal fees. She doesn't get any of it back. I'm not condoning his Clinton's extramarital activities, but she shouldn't have to pay $1.1 million in legal fees, should she? 303-382-1150. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition, the New Year's Eve edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Most people come from one school of thought. Welcome to the beauty of both sides. AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We're the Style Matters gals, and we love to shop.
But sometimes we don't like to shop for the same things. For example, I'm sick of looking for thigh-high white boots for you.
Well, that's because you have a short attention span. But there are two boutiques where we both love to shop. Posh and the Perfect Petal at 32nd and Lowell in the Highland neighborhood.
These two boutiques are more than just gift shops. They sell almost anything your little heart desires, such as Anthony Shaving and skincare lines for men, stylish hats, the accessory for this season, dishware, and decorative home items.
How about unique floral arrangements, the hottest new skincare line called Juice, and a bridal registry, invitations, and gifts? It's all at the Perfect Petal and Posh.
Two incredible boutiques, Posh and the Perfect Petal, at Lowell and 32nd Avenue in the Highland neighborhood. Open Monday through Saturdays, 9 to 8, Sundays, 11 to 5.
We both love to shop there because they give great shopping.
AM 1150 KNRC is proud to continue a Denver broadcast tradition. The State of Colorado, produced in conjunction with the Denver Press Club and Rocky Mountain Reflections. The State of Colorado is where Greg Dobbs hosts a panel of Denver journalists discussing the major stories of the week every Friday morning from 8 to 9:30. It's the most in-depth analysis and perspective on Denver radio. The State of Colorado is brought to you in part by Denver Center Attractions and International Optique. Friday mornings at 8 on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1222 on the Wednesday New Year's Eve edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. 303-382-1150. A lot of terrorism fears surrounding New Year's Eve, but I don't feel any of them. I think it's just a lot of BS. I think we're being manipulated. When we last left each other, Monica Lewinsky was not going to get reimbursement of her legal fees, which is $1.1 million. She has to pick that up herself, or her family does, or I don't know who's paying for it, but she's not going to get reimbursement for that $1.1 million. Does that strike you as fair? 303-382-1150. And here's a surprise. Here's a shocker. The most popular Democrat, the one who could give George W. Bush a real run for his money, not to say that Dean can't, but there's a lot of controversy surrounding Dean, and I don't know if he'll be able to do it or not, if he'll be able to pull it off, even though he is the lead of all the, he's the head of all the contenders in the Democratic field, is, who is the number one leading the rankings for the second year in the row of the most admired list? You want to guess who is the number one person on the most admired list? Hillary is the number one person for 2 years in a row. Can you believe that? I think a lot of men are not too thrilled. And Laura Bush, she's not the number one person. She's the number three person. The number one person is Hillary Rodham Clinton for this year. The number two person is Oprah. The number three person is Laura. The number four person is Condoleezza Rice. And the number five person with only 3% is Barbara, I'm not a bitch, Bush. 303-382-1150. Hillary Clinton, remember what Barbara Bush said about Geraldine Ferraro When Geraldine Ferraro was going to run, she says she's a word that rhymes with a witch. So that's why I said that about Barbara, who always seems so motherly and grandmotherly and, you know, non-threatening. But apparently in private, she's quite sarcastic and has a sharp tongue. So the most admired, President Bush again ranks as the man most admired by Americans. I can't imagine why. But First Lady Laura Bush comes in number three. And actually, I think she seems like a very nice person. The fact that she's a librarian even boosts her up a couple of notches in my book. But number one is Hillary Clinton. She's doing better now than she did as First Lady, as a matter of fact. Well, no, actually in 2000, the year 2000, she did a little bit better. Last in 2002, she was at 7%, but everybody else was below her. This year, she's at 16%, and she's the most admired woman in the country. Are you surprised by that? 303-382-1150. Most men, particularly right-wing fundamentalist men, hate her. They are completely undone by Hillary Clinton, and I don't really know why. Maybe you could tell me. Eddie, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Eddie.
Yeah. I think the person that should reimburse Lewinsky should be Clinton, since he got the better end of it.
Ooh. Well, okay. We're not going there. We're not going there, Eddie.
And the other thing that I'm going to comment, while Clinton was in office, he also hurt the military very bad by closing a lot of the medical facilities that we had available for our veterans.
I don't think anybody has hurt the military more than George W. Bush in many, many ways. Not only sending him into this war for bogus reasons, but also lying about supporting the military when in fact he's trying to cut the budget. And the worst that George W. Bush is doing is stretching our troops very thin, making them stay longer than they ever thought they were going to have to stay, longer than they ever signed up for. They are tired and they are demoralized, and the Army is very concerned about the elevated suicide levels.
Well, the other thing that I've got to say is the people that we have in the armed forces today are all volunteers. No one drafted them. You can't expect to go into the military and spend 20 years in Florida. That's all I've got to say.
Well, I agree with you on that one, Eddie. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. If you're going to be in the reserves, if you are going to sign up, well, it's not going to be a day at the beach. But still in all, our troops are spread very thin, and if there is another conflict in another part of the world, I don't know how we're going to manage it. And we're running at historic deficits. So is this good management? This would be like being in credit card hell and still spending drunkenly. That would be the equivalent if you were running your own home. I want to share with you this story. A soldier's return to a dark and moody world. This is a man whose name is Jeremy Feldbusch. He joined the Army to travel the world. Now the only place he can go by himself is the 40 steps from his bed to the reclining chair in the living room. He is a growing number of young men and women are returning from Iraq and trying to resume the lives that were interrupted by war and then minced by injury. Sergeant Feldbusch, a moody 24-year-old, is one of them. Back in a little town in western Pennsylvania, in a little house overlooking trees and snow-blanketed hills, he now cannot see. "What happened to my plans to become an officer? Gone," he says. "Can I ever jump into my truck again and just take off? No. Do I always have to be with my mom and dad now? Yep." Since the war started, more than 2,300 American soldiers in Iraq have been hurt in combat, many by artillery shells and homemade bombs that spray shrapnel. Bulletproof vests and helmets protect vital organs. But as the insurgency continues, doctors say that severe facial injuries, along with wounds to the arms and legs, are becoming a hallmark of this war. There's that little area between where the helmet ends and where the body armor starts, says one doctor, an Army neurosurgeon, and we are seeing a lot of guys getting hit right there, right in the face. Back home, one little piece of metal can turn a household upside down. Charlene Feldbusch stopped working to take care of her son. She rubs cream on his face in the morning, helps him pick out his clothes, fixes him breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and gives him pills at night so he does not shake. His father, Brace, started writing a book about him. "He's been such an inspiration to me, accomplishing more at 24 than I have in my entire life," said the father, a former coal miner who lost two fingers to a coal cart before he lost his job. He ticked off the chapters, his son's greatest moments, winning the state freestyle wrestling championship, bench pressing 405 pounds, graduating from the University of Pittsburgh, a biology major, the only member of the family to finish college, becoming an Army Ranger. His two brothers sometimes feel left out, but they understand our entire world has changed. The mom says, somebody has to be with Jeremy all the time, and that's okay. I'm his mom, and that's what moms do. During the 2 months Jeremy Feldbusch spent recovering at Brook Army Medical Center in San Antonio, his parents lived at his bedside. His mother remembers one day seeing a young female soldier crawling past her in the corridor with no legs and her three-year-old son trailing behind. Ms. Feldbusch started to cry, but not for the woman. Do you know how many times I walked up and down those hallways and saw these people without arms and legs and thought, why couldn't this be my son? Why his eyes? This is what the mother is saying. Listen to this. Artillery shells make a certain sound when they are coming right at you. Not a looping whistle, but a short shriek. On April 3, Sergeant Feldbusch, a 6'2", thickly built mortar man, heard the shriek. He and his platoon of Rangers were guarding the Haditha Dam, a strategic point northwest of Baghdad along the Euphrates River, when a shell burst 100 feet away and a piece of red-hot shrapnel hit him in the face. The last thing he remembers was eating a patch of chicken teriyaki. The inch-long piece of steel, part of the artillery shell's casing, sliced through his right eye, tumbled through his sinuses, lodged in the left side of his brain, severely damaging the optic nerve of his left eye, and spraying bone splinters throughout his brain. 2 weeks later, at Brook Army Medical Center, doctors removed the shrapnel and reconstructed his face with titanium mesh and a lump of fat from his stomach in place of his missing eye so the hole would not cave in. For 5 weeks, Sergeant Feldbusch remained in a coma. When he came out, it was still black. I could hear my parents' voices, he said, and I thought, what are they doing here? Am I dreaming? What the hell is going on? His mother knelt by his bedside and sang softly into his ear, When I Wish Upon a Star. Then she asked him, Jeremy, who do you love? True to form, he whispered, Brace. He was joking. 2 weeks after he came out of the coma, his parents broke the news. He was being awarded a Purple Heart and a Bronze Star, but there was very little chance he would ever see again. I thought, there's no way this is happening to me. There's no way I'm going to go through life as a blind man, the sergeant said. One day, as he lay in bed with tubes and wires and needles sticking out of him like some sort of a science project, his father looked at him and said, Maybe God thought you had seen enough killing. Jeremy responded, But Dad, why did he have to take my eyes? The inch-long piece of shrapnel not only took his sight and dulled his sense of taste and smell, but it took some of his brain as well. It left him quick to lose his temper and acutely sensitive to pain. When he got out of the hospital, it hurt his skin when the wind blew. It also left him prone to seizures. Right before Christmas, he had his third. We're just holding on, said his father. It's like we're living in a bubble. His moods flash like the bits of color that sometimes glitter in the mineshaft he lives in. Sometimes he sees red, blue, and a bright yellow. Sometimes he is angry, then sad, then suddenly playful. On a recent night, his father asked, In your mind, Jeremy, if there's an image, if there's a picture in there, buddy, what do you see? The sergeant growled back, I see you getting off your butt and going to the store and getting me some Icy Pops. I'm hungry. Lately, his parents say he's been more sarcastic. This month he was invited to speak to a sixth-grade class. His mother told him the children would like to see his uniform. Instead, he wore his sweats. One boy asked about the weather in Iraq. Another asked the sergeant if he'd made any new Iraqi friends. I didn't make any Iraqi friends, he said. At the end of the talk, the school principal asked, Jeremy, can you say something in Iraqi? Well, Sergeant, which I don't think is the name of the language, I think they speak Arabic, don't they? Sergeant Feldbusch replied, something in Iraqi. The children looked at the principal, who stared at the sergeant, who grinned back at her. That's just how I've always been, a wisecracker, he explained later. But then he said, rubbing his finger on the pink splotch of his right eye, by his right eye, when you look at me, you see this little scar. But people forget that I had this piece of metal go through my eye and bounce up and down in my face and get stuck in my brain. The doctor, the neurosurgeon who operated on Sergeant Feldbusch, explained that his personality may have been affected by damage to the brain's frontal lobe, which controls social skills and behavior. When you get a frontal lobe injury, you tend to be more emotionally aggressive, the doctor says. A lot of young men with these injuries seem to be angry. The mother says she's concerned about what's going to come out in Jeremy. I know he's a big-hearted person, she said, but it's just that now he's, she searched for a word she could live with, he's different. Sergeant Feldbusch said his attitude was evolving. I'm fine with it now, he said. I'm going to learn brain. I'm going to get a cane. I'm going to survive. There's more to life than seeing. But even in his dreams, he no longer sees, and he has stopped trying to picture faces. When I was first in the hospital, he said, I tried to think of what the doctors and the nurses all looked like. But then I stopped. I'm blind. I figured, why am I doing this? I'm never going to see them. He went on. It's not that I don't allow myself to get upset. I don't think about it. My day is my day now. He spends most of his time in bed or slouched in the reclining chair in the corner of the living room, absorbing his favorite TV shows like Sanford and Son and the news. At first, he had a lot of visitors, and the little town he lives in even had a parade for him. He talks about going back to school, maybe getting a master's degree, and hitting the weights again. But the anti-seizure medications make him sleepy, so he naps a lot. Yeah, he says, I get bored and I miss the guys. Ever since I was five, I was always part of some team. Now, he says, I'm alone. Sometimes that gets into trouble. This summer, he slipped off the deck, slammed his face into a door frame one night, nearly knocked himself out. Once he gets a medical discharge, he'll be eligible for veterans benefits that will most likely exceed his current $1,800 a month paycheck. On a recent night, his family took him to a wrestling meet. He sat on the edge of the mat with his father, who described each twist, turn, and body slam. This gym was alive with the squeak of shoes and the hot press of a full crowd. Dad, what's going on now? The sergeant asked. Well, Germ, this kid with the tattoo is on top and got this boy in a figure four or something, Dad said. The other kid's nose is bleeding. I'm rooting for the bleeder, said the sergeant. A minute later, the bleeder was on his back. Some girls in the crowd screamed for him to get up. What's going on, Dad? What's he doing now? Asked Sergeant Fellbush. See, you got to take winning, and you got to take losing well, the father said. Look at Jeremy. He's got every reason to sit in a corner and be depressed, but he's not. Whatever, Dad, said Sergeant Fellbush. Who's next? These are the stories of people coming back that we only know about in the abstract. These are the people fighting this war. Very stretched, very thin. If we had to deploy troops to another firestorm someplace else, it would be not easy to do because our troops are stretched so thin. And this is some of the cost of the war in Iraq. We have gone to war for reasons that have turned out to be a lie. Will it ultimately work? I don't know. But the reasons given for us going to war have turned out to be a lie. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the New Year's Eve edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Jim Conder here, talking with Bev Rouleau from International Optique. Bev, fashion eyewear, the best in the city, and now a sale. Bev, what's up with that?
Jim, International Optique is having our annual sale now through January 15th, and it's a blowout.
I know the details. If you purchase prescription frames and lenses at International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University and Orchard, you receive a 25% discount.
It's a family affair at International Optique. Just bring your family and friends. Everyone receives 25% off their new frame and lenses.
And don't forget to use your Flex dollars while saving money. If you run out of time to use your Flex dollars, come in for a gift certificate to be used later.
Jim, the excitement about International Optique is that we carry frames with a little attitude or a lot of attitude. Either way, let our staff make sure you walk out looking beyond fabulous.
For the best in eyewear in Denver, join International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University in Orchard now through January 15th for their spectacular 25% off prescription frame and lens sale. It's not what you know, it's who you know, and we know International Optique.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Surface high pressure over our area. We're going to see lots of sun today. High of 52. Later on tonight for New Year's Eve, mostly clear. Some gusty winds late to watch out for, down to 23. Tomorrow, New Year's Day, lots of sun, just a few clouds and 52. And partly cloudy and windy for Friday, high of 47. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Bet Your Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
Don't miss witness one of R&B's most popular vocalists live in concert with the CSO. Lou Rawls performs for the first time ever with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra on January 2nd and 3rd at Betcher Concert Hall. Tickets available at all King Supers Tickets West outlets and online at www.coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100. Time to check into the KNRC newsroom and a report from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 46 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by BMW. An accident that left a woman in critical condition has knocked out power to parts of northwest Denver. The driver had a seizure while driving on westbound 120th Avenue this morning. The outage runs from 120th in the south to 144th Avenue to the north and from Zunai to Washington east to west. 24-year-old Michael Yashinsky of Monument died on Christmas Eve in an accident in Iraq. Yashinsky was electrocuted while installing communications wiring at Kirkuk Airfield in Iraq. The city of Denver rings in the new year with two 12-minute fireworks celebrations tonight, the first at 9, the second at midnight. It'll be tough finding parking for the shows, though, on the 16th Street Mall, so alternate ways of getting downtown are suggested. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche and Denver Nuggets both on the road tonight. The Avs in Calgary against the Flames, the Nuggets in L.A. to play the Clippers. In college basketball, the CU Buffs host the University of Richmond Spiders this afternoon. Cut through snow and ice easier than ever. Visit your local BMW dealer and ask about their all-wheel drive 3 Series sedans and wagons, X5, and the new BMW X3. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:41.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Closes your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
You know, we're having all these technical problems today. We have a new person on board, and the system is sort of crashing, so I hope you'll bear with us. Lots of problems. I'm happy to say goodbye to the year 2003. You're listening to Enid Live. It's the Wednesday edition. It's New Year's Eve tonight, where a lot of people are quaking in their boots, but a lot of other people are looking forward to having a good time. And the story I read you is a story, if you were listening before what laughingly refers to itself as the break. We were talking about a soldier's return to a dark and moody world. This is Iraq. Here we are, sending everybody else's brothers, sisters, children, and loved ones to Iraq to fight this war. And look at how some of them are coming back. Their lives are completely and hideously altered. And nobody's talking about that. It's very easy to send somebody else's loved ones into battle. These are people not sending their own loved ones into battle. And a lot of people say, well, we support the troops. I want to know what that means in a concrete way. Does that mean you give them a break on the rent? Does that mean you're doing something and giving them some sort of a discount when they come back? What does it mean we support the troops? George W. Bush says we support the troops, and then he cuts the VA budget, and he cuts the military budget, too, and he cuts the combat pay, 303-382-1150. Steve on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
How are you doing today, Enid?
I'm doing well, Steve.
I hope that, you know, maybe next Veterans Day or, you know, all of the Veterans Day as we go forward, that people understand that, you know, this kid story that you just read a minute ago, you know, whether it was Vietnam, World War II, World War I, the Gulf War, you know, these people are out there putting their lives, and even though this particular gentleman didn't lose his life, he's lost a lot of his life. And these guys are out there doing it so that, you know, people like me can call you and complain, and you can complain about Bush, and, you know, forgetting the politics of it.
Yeah, but wait a minute, Steve. I have no problem going in to hit the people who hit us, but just to go in and hit someone that has nothing to do with what happened to us 9/11, simply for other reasons and lying about the reasons going in. I have a big problem with that. Just like people say, oh, George W. Bush is a man of action. Fine, but what's the point of making the wrong actions or the wrong-headed decisions and calling yourself decisive just because you make a decision, no matter how bad it is? The wisdom, the real genius of making decisions is making the right decision at the right time, not just any old decision. Everybody could be a genius if the bar were set that low.
Well, I agree with what you're saying, although, as you are aware, I disagree with you 100%. I think that, the bar, the standard that you set is much different than what most of the Americans set, which is, you know, the Taliban, if we'd have talked about the Taliban in 1999, they're a do-nothing, know-nothing government in Afghanistan, but we saw what happened when that do-nothing, know-nothing government hooked up with terrorism. And when you look at a country such as Iraq that was a state that sponsored terrorism, I'm aware that Iraq didn't have anything to do with 9/11. They did have something to do with the 93 World Trade Center bombing. People understood that at some point we were playing with fire, and we had two choices. We could either go ahead and assume that Iraq would never hook up with the wrong terrorists who would bring destruction to this country again, or we could assume that based on the fact that they were more than willing to work with terrorists who were happy to kill civilians, especially in Israel, that they probably wouldn't have a problem killing American civilians as well. And
wait a minute. I your reasoning is convoluted. There's no justification for going to war against Iraq. The whole thing was sold on the basis of a lot of lies, Steve. And so if you're going to pay these ultimate prices, I mean, the story of this guy coming back with shrapnel in his brain and his eyeballs, his eyeballs have evaporated because of the injuries he has sustained. He is one of many. Some are even in more grisly condition than he is. If we are going to ask that of our kids, then we have got to get it right. You don't just send them in for anything. You don't send them in as another Vietnam. What was the point of Vietnam? A lot of people died and a lot of people came back so messed up from Vietnam. And what did we gain from that? What was the point of it?
I agree. Well, the point of it, if you look back on Vietnam, obviously we've got, 30, 40 years now to look back on it. But at the time, the belief was that communism was going to domino effect around the world.
And it was completely bogus. It was wrong. The wall came down eventually, and people lost their lives for nothing. How do those parents feel?
I'm not saying that it was right. I'm just saying that was the belief at the time. But getting back
But in the light of history, in the light of subsequent events, it turned out that going to Vietnam was an enormous mistake, and we got almost nothing out of it except a lot of screwed up people, a lot of lives lost, and not very much. The cost to benefit ratio wasn't worth it. And I'm saying here in Iraq, if you are going to send people to pay the ultimate price, potentially pay the ultimate price, it better be worthwhile. And it's not yet worthwhile in Iraq. We really should have gone after the people where terrorism was ground central, and that's Osama bin Laden, and the country that is the most hostile to us and where most of the terrorism happens is Pakistan. And in the last couple of weeks, there have been two assassination attempts on the lives of Musharraf. So he's got to walk a tightrope. He may, he may decide that he's had enough of this and may decide to take an early retirement to Florida. Who knows?
Well, but hang on.
He'd be getting that early bird special at 4:30 in the afternoon, and he's going to have to get himself some white shoes and a matching white belt and maybe a Nehru jacket, too.
But hang on. There's two issues here, okay? Let's look at Pakistan for a minute, okay? Pakistan has nuclear weapons. So the problem that we have with Pakistan is, I'm sure if we had our choice, Musharraf and his government would not be who or what we would want to deal with. The problem is if we don't give some support, because we have a reason.
But we're spinning our wheels here, Steve. There's no, this man coming back, this Sergeant Feldbusch, coming back blind with his brains in disarray. He has, for what? Why? Why? I'm looking at Michael Moore's website and there are letters from soldiers saying this is not about democracy. There's a lot of demoralization. The army is very concerned about the increased levels of suicide. They're beginning to investigate it. And our troops are stretched very thin. So you thought you had a commitment of X number of months or years. It's not true. They're making you stay much longer. I think it's a very tough situation we put ourselves into, and it was very bad planning and very bad decision.
Well, I think some of the planning, I would agree, was not the best. But let's be honest here, okay?
Why shouldn't we? Wait, no, no. It wasn't the best. Okay. You and I agree on that. Why shouldn't we expect? Yes. Why shouldn't we expect top-notch, first-class planning? Why shouldn't we expect that from our leaders when lives are at stake and the country is at stake? Why don't I think that's a minimum level of expectation? Are we so dumb that we're willing to settle for crap?
No, but what we have to understand here, Enid, is when you're dealing with Iraq, in this particular case, we're dealing with intelligence. Obviously, some of the intelligence that we had was not correct.
Nobody lost their job. I'm going to reiterate, Steve, in the wake of the worst intelligence failure, the most massive intelligence failure in the history of this country, not one head rolled, nobody lost their job over it.
And you and I would agree there that somebody should have lost.
Somebody should have. We're going to leave it in a place of agreement as we inch into the new year. Steve, I wish you a happy new year.
And be safe tonight.
Thanks. You too. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. Steve is saying that, you know, we didn't make the best decisions going into Iraq. I agree. We didn't make the best planning going into Iraq. Shouldn't we have expected a top-notch quality of planning when lives are at stake, when the future of the country is at stake? Shouldn't you expect a high level of quality in the decision-making? But people are willing to settle for junk. This is apparently how dumbed down we have become. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Call the host you don't agree with. Keep both sides alive and well on AM 1150 KNRC.
Quick question. Ever had a cold that only lasted 4 hours? Anybody? Then why take a 4-hour cold medicine? Instead, take Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill has the strength to give you 12 hours of relief. No stuffy nose, no throbbing head, all day. So what's it going to be? 12 hours of relief or symptoms that interrupt your day? Do I really need to ask?
Try non-drowsy Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill, 12 hours of relief. Use as directed.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Are drugs affecting you, your family, or a friend? Narcanon provides answers to drug addiction. They offer free assessment and referral services to over 11,000 treatment centers nationwide. For 30 years, Narcanon has successfully used a drug-free approach to long-term recovery that works. They understand the cravings, guilt, and depression associated with addiction. To find out more about Narcanon, log on to www.stopaddiction.com or call 1-800-468-6933.
Cut through snow and ice easier than ever. Visit your local BMW dealer and ask about the all-wheel drive 3 Series sedans and wagons, X5 and the new BMW X3.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of Her Majesty Queen Noor on January 20th, retired General Tommy Franks on March 30th, and Steve Forbes on May 17th. Tickets start at only $50 for the 3-lecture package and are on sale now. Go to www.denverlectureseries.com. And expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein.
Yeah. 12:52 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock this afternoon as we inch into the brand new year. Well, here's my motto, more and four is what I'm saying. Let's go to the phone. Morris, Gonicel. Hi, Morris. You're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. Listen, I just want to make a general comment. I enjoy listening to your show. I've only been listening now for about a month.
How did you find us?
Well, I just happened to be flipping through stations. You know, there's a pledge drive on NPR that consumes 2 and 3 weeks at a time, and I can't tolerate listening to it because they just sit there asking for money all day
long. I know,
it's the
begathon.
That's right. So I got bored with that, and I was scanning channels and found you, and I'm a Democrat, so I'm very interested in what you had to say, and I don't care at all for George W. Bush, or Dick, as you were calling him yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, the comment I wanted to make was, I wish that you'd give callers a little bit more time to speak their mind before you chime in, because I'd like to hear what they have to say before you cut them off. And that's all I had to say.
Okay. Thanks, Morris. Happy New Year. 303-382-1150. Ruth in Tremont. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid.
Hi, Ruth.
I've been wanting to call you, but it's a long distance and it's very expensive.
but I'm glad to call you.
Oh.
I appreciate so much what you're doing, but I really don't know if you're going to get through to a lot of people. They seem to have the ability to get all worked up and be very much involved in wanting to impeach a president over some stupid affair. But when it comes to something that is putting our entire economy in jeopardy, our way of life in jeopardy, and thousands of young men's lives are going to be destroyed, and all because, and I really believe this, that they thought that Iraq was going to be an easy target to get oil, and they lied through their teeth, and they're trying to busily cover up that lie. This man should be impeached.
He should absolutely be impeached. But there's no, and what I'm amazed at is that nobody is holding his feet to the fire to tell us the truth. Nobody seems, there is no outrage here at the lies that we're getting. And the only theory that I can come up with is that so many people who are happy to have him in power because he espouses their point of view, whether it's a fundamentalist Christian point of view, whether it's a fundamentalist Christian conservative point of view, whether it's a Republican take care of my good friends, make the rich richer point of view, or whether he's simply a standard bearer for the Republican Party. That's the only theory that I can come up with. So they're willing to sack privately. A lot of people who are hardcore Republicans will tell you that they don't think he's real bright. And which is perfect for the guys like Cheney and Rumsfeld around him, who are the ones strong-arming him into all kinds of decisions.
Yeah, well, so much is getting lost because they are using rhetoric, they are using lies, and as you say, they are using things that they know appeal to a large groups of people that they want to hear what they say. What he is doing to our governmental structure, he is privatizing departments, he is giving private companies, private institutions power that they should not have in a democracy. He is totally involved in trying to get rid of, to destroy all of our social systems. I live right near the border.
And doing it in secrecy, too.
You should see what's happening here. They are going to have thousands of drillings in our northern states, thousands of them, completely destroying the environment, the land. I mean, people have no idea what they are dealing with this monster.
You know, I agree with you, Ruth, and also much of what they're trying to do, they're trying to accomplish in secrecy.
Yes, it is the most, and even some Republicans that I know agree with this, it is the most secretive government that we have ever had in place.
Many conservative Republicans, people who are really conservative, honestly conservative, not haters who call themselves conservative, are very upset about the erosion of our civil liberties as well, like the Patriot Act.
Yes.
But I wonder how many of them will be able to bring themselves to vote for, let's say, if the Democratic candidate is Howard Dean, how are they going to let themselves vote for Howard Dean so they will wind up voting for Bush again, even though they're unhappy with him?
They are very busily. They're very, very good. They're very, very good at spreading lies and deception. They are busily involved in completely destroying Howard Dean. They label him a liberal, which he is not. They are making fun of things that he says that when you really look at them, they're not silly things at all. They make sense, the things he's saying. We are not safer now than we were. We are not safer now. Iraq is not a safer place than it was before. All of the people who are totally against what is going on over there are now rushing to the borders, and they are infiltrating. None of this was going on before. I mean, for him to do what he has done in such a relative short time by appealing to hatreds and grudges.
Fear.
Fear is the big one. At every time it looks as though he might be going down in the polls a little bit, something happens. And most of the time it's orchestrated. And if people follow the thread of the orchestration, it eventually comes out, but nobody is paying any attention.
Ruth, I thank you very much
for an
eloquent
call. Keep doing the good work.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate your support.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Earl, can you say it in just a few seconds? Hi.
Yeah, Enid, how are you doing today?
Good. We just have a couple seconds left.
Year.
Thank you. I hope you have a good new year.
Our family, my father is a three-war veteran. I'm a veteran. Two of my brothers are veterans, and now three of my brothers have sons in the military. And, you know, we support this man completely. I think that it is...
I don't know why, and I wish I could get into you and wrangle with you about it, but we're just about out of time, Earl. We're going to have to leave it there and wish each other a happy new year. I'm Enid Goldstein. Don't go anywhere. Two more hours of Enid Live right here on AM 1150 KNRC. It's the New Year's Eve edition, I guess, and here we are. We're talking about a time when a lot of people are going to stay home tonight because they're afraid. They're afraid of terrorism. Are you one of them? I hope not. I'm not. I'm going to be out there booking. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC. Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 46 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Metabolife Ultra. A man is in critical but stable condition after a propane bottle exploded at a Weld County motel. Investigators say 52-year-old Johnny Weber was trying to light a pilot light on his heater when the explosion happened. Weber was flown to a Greeley hospital with third-degree burns over his entire body. Weber was a resident at the Motel Rogan on Highway 76. Witnesses say flames were shooting through the roof of the single-story motel. By the time that firefighters arrived, no other injuries were reported, but Weber's unit and several adjoining units were completely destroyed by the explosion and resulting fire. An investigation is underway. An accident that left a woman in critical condition has knocked out power to parts of northwest Denver. The driver had a seizure while driving on westbound 128th Avenue this morning. She swerved off the road and tumbled down an embankment onto I-25. The car took out an electrical power pole as it went down the hill, knocking out power to nearly 3,000 Denver residents. The outage runs from 120th in the south to 144th Avenue in the north and from Zuni to Washington east to west. I-25 had to be shut down for a short time to allow a medical helicopter to land and pick up the injured driver. Police have identified the body of a woman killed in an apartment fire in Glendale on Sunday. The Arapahoe County coroner has completed an autopsy on 46-year-old Nancy Weaver, but won't release the exact cause of death until the lab results are all in. At this point, Weaver is the only known fatality from the fire that destroyed all 58 units of the Spanish Gates Apartments on East Kentucky. Fire investigators are searching what's left of the building, checking for other possible victims who may have been visiting. Demolition crews are bringing down parts of the structure that they deem unstable as investigators continue their search in the building. Englewood police are asking for your help in finding a man who allegedly stole more than a dozen DVDs from a video store on Tuesday night. Investigators say a man entered the Hollywood video store on 3305 South Broadway around 9:30 last night. Surveillance video shows the man grabbing approximately 12 to 16 DVDs before walking past store security and out the front door. The store manager chased the suspect, who ran into a silver Acura in the parking lot. Witnesses told police there was another male driving the car. The manager says the suspect threatened him with a black handgun. The suspect is described as Hispanic, 18 to 23 years old, about 5 feet 5 inches tall. He has short shaved black hair and was last seen wearing a red long sleeve shirt with black stripes. Anyone with information on the two suspects has to call Englewood Police Investigations Bureau immediately. A suspected suicide bomb tore apart a Baghdad restaurant packed with New Year's Eve revelers, killing at least 5 people. Many others are trapped under the rubble, and rescue teams are digging through the debris looking for survivors. Witnesses said much of the restaurant building as well as a nearby house had been destroyed. They said at least 30 people were inside when the bomb went off. U.S.-backed security forces had increased patrols in Baghdad due to concerns that insurgents could choose the New Year period to launch attacks against coalition forces. The sheriff of Santa Barbara County, California, isn't taking lightly allegations levied by Michael Jackson. Sheriff Jim Anderson told reporters at a news conference today that Jackson was in no way manhandled by deputies during his arrest and booking, as he is alleged. Anderson also played an audio recording made during Jackson's transport to the facility, in which the pop star could be heard thanking officers for making him more comfortable. In an interview with 60 Minutes on CBS, Jackson claimed that deputies dislocated his shoulder and had him locked in a feces-splattered bathroom at the booking facility for about 45 minutes. A device invented by a Minnesota company in the 1980s has renewed popularity after the discovery of mad cow disease in the U.S. Digital Angel has a tracking device for cattle that not only keeps tabs on where the animals are, but also their health history. The company's John Newsma says the device eventually evolved into the popular tracking chip for dogs and cats.
Approximately 6,000 lost pet recoveries in the United States every month because of the microchip.
Newsma says Digital Angel's cattle tracking device has been in high demand since the discovery of mad cow in Washington State. On Wall Street, the major indices are all down at this hour. The Dow down 14 points, the NASDAQ down about 12.5, the S&P 500 down almost 3. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche play the Flames in Calgary tonight. Avs are coming off their loss to the Vancouver Canucks on Monday. Denver Nuggets head into L.A. tonight to take on the Clippers. Nuggets beat the Clippers when the two teams last played in November. Planning a New Year's resolution to lose weight? Pick up a bottle of Metabolife Ultra and keep that promise you've made to yourself. Metabolife Ultra, guaranteed to work or your money back. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
Welcome aboard Airline, A&E's new real-life TV series that shows you all that can happen between here and there. For your viewing pleasure, I'd like to direct your attention to the antics of some of your fellow passengers.
May I please have 10 more air sick bags? I'm wallpapering my living room.
Sir, please. Anyway, I hope you've got a craving for nuts, because there's probably one sitting in the seat next to you.
We all have our baggage. Airline arrives Monday nights at 10, 9 Central, only on A&E.
I'm still working on perfecting my digital photography skills. But making prints from my digital camera? Now that's easy. Thanks to Walgreens' new digital photo center, available at thousands of Walgreens locations. I bring in any digital media to make prints that are better and last longer than the ones I can print at home. I only print the ones I like, and a 4x6 print is only 29 cents. Walgreens' new digital photo center, where America takes its digital pictures.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report sponsored by Net Zero High Speed, and really doing pretty well. That accident we talked about earlier in the news is cleared now. Still going to see some power outages in the area, so treat those as four-way stop. Other than that, a nice quiet drive around the metro area on this New Year's Eve. Surf the internet up to 5 times faster than standard dial-up with Net Zero High Speed, just $14.95 a month, including pop-up blocker. Call 877-NET-ZERO or visit netzero.com today. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Surface high pressure over our area. We're going to see lots of sun today. High of 52. Later on tonight for New Year's Eve, mostly clear. Some gusty winds late to watch out for, down to 23. Tomorrow, New Year's Day, lots of sun, just a few clouds and 52. And partly cloudy and windy for Friday, high of 47. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 45 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
The New Year's Eve edition of Enid Live. People are quaking. Some people are quaking in their boots, but I hope the rest of you, in anticipation of who knows what kind of terrorism, I hope the rest of you are planning something really perky for tonight. You want to know my view of it? This is, it's amateur's night out. Honest to God, has any New Year's Eve lived up to its advanced billing? I think it's really nice to be with your friends on New Year's Eve. I think it's nice to be home on New Year's Eve with your beloved or beloveds or by yourself, if it comes to that. So I'm curious to know what you're planning for New Year's Eve tonight. Are you going to go to the fireworks? 303-382-1150. Somebody sent me this. Lisa sent me this. This is sung to the tune of, you know, this is the Janis Joplin song. Oh, Lord, won't you find me a WMD? My friends won't send forces or money to me. Look hard under sand dunes, there's nothing to see. So, Lord, won't you find me a WMD? Oh, Lord, won't you find me some chemicals, please? France and Australia are laughing at me. I wait for intelligence each day until 3. So, Lord, won't you find me some banned chemicals, please? Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a fight in Iran? There's oil in there, Lord, please give me their sand. Prove that you love me and buy me a plan. Oh, Lord, won't you find me a fight in Iran? Oh, Lord, won't you find me a WMD? The Dems might just rally and get off their knees. Elections are coming. There's nothing to see. So, Lord, won't you find me a WMD? Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate that. So the First Lady is the most admired woman, the former First Lady, Hillary Clinton, is the most admired woman in America. Would you like to comment on that? A lot of men hate her guts. And Ruth, a very eloquent caller in the last hour, was talking about all the drilling that's going up on where she is. And here is, in the Denver Post, yesterday's Denver Post, a moderate newspaper, they took off after Owens. I couldn't believe it in an editorial. When federal agencies are weighing whether to permit oil and gas drilling in sensitive areas, they depend on the Colorado Division of Wildlife to help them understand how the development will affect wild animals. It's crucial to get accurate and objective data, even if the information shows that drilling in some places would be unwise. So it is distressing, writes the Denver Post, that Governor Bill Owens, and where has he been lately? Anyway, undercovers or under the covers? Undercover or under the covers? Bill Owens' administration repeatedly has diluted and squelched comment from wildlife experts. As a result, Colorado has sent federal agencies one-sided pro-developmental messages. The most recent example involves recommendations for protecting wildlife habitat on the Rhone Plateau near Rifle. Most of the 120,000-acre plateau already is available for oil and gas exploration and development, but the U.S. BLM, Bureau of Land Management, is considering whether to allow oil rigs, seismic trucks, pipelines, and roads on 36,000 acres of federal land not yet open to development. The plateau's remaining undisturbed areas are prime wildlife habitat. Scientists wanted 5 sensitive areas protected from development and 2 areas put off limits to all leasing, but the recommendations apparently did not sit well with the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. Both the commission and division are part of the Colorado Department of Natural Resources. As has happened too often in the Owens administration, the pro-development voice drowned out reasonable calls for environmental sensitivity. Predictably, the department sided with the oil and gas guys, not the wildlife scientists. So what happens is this is industry-driven stuff. This is why you got mad cow disease in this country. Industry-driven practices, and it's tolerated. In fact, there's increased surveillance of ordinary citizens, but less surveillance, less oversight of business and development interests. 303-382-1150. Larry, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hello, Enid. Got a couple things for you may want to just check on. I used to do a lot of work in the oil business, especially down around Midland, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know anything about Midland, Texas, they call that Permian Basin. So if you drive a nail in the ground down there, you're damn right going to hit oil. The thing you want to check on is that's where Bush was running his oil deal down there, President Bush. And the thing that's interesting is I've heard different numbers, but collected money or got money together for 14 wells. Drilled 8, never hit a damn thing.
You know, here's a man, I have to tell you something. I don't know why people suspend disbelief. When you are working in a company, everybody gossips. I mean, that's the nature of most workplace environments.
Yeah.
And they're gossiping about the nature of the leadership and are the decisions good decisions? Are they bad decisions? Are they mediocre decisions? And so on. So here you have a guy whose only claim to fame is that he was born a Bush. He was born the son of George H.W. Bush and a long line of illustrious ancestors and so on. Born with a silver spoon. What did somebody say? He was born on third and thought he hit a triple.
Yeah.
So that's George W. Dickey Bush.
Well,
and he's had a, he was a complete failure at just about every single thing that he attempted, including keeping sober. But all of his business ventures were pretty much failures. The only thing he had some success at was the Texas Rangers, and that was due to a lot of taxpayer money that was involved in a kind of a sweetheart deal. And he was able to get in on these deals. He'd lose a lot of money, but then family friends would get him in on another deal, and he'd lose a lot of money on that deal. He was always salvaged by family connections.
Well, he was not that good as a manager because the Rangers had a good owner. So he was a total failure at baseball.
So what
and
is your...
And he wouldn't even hire Sammy Sosa.
Yeah, but what is your point about him, that he's a lousy executive?
Well, no, my point is, you know, you have to have luck in the oil business. And the guy's just totally unlucky at everything.
He would let me, I think he's very lucky. He's lucky enough to be elected president with almost nothing in the way of any serious credentials. He's a guy who's been described as so incurious that he doesn't read, and he's proud of it. He boasts that he doesn't, never mind that he's married to a librarian. He doesn't read, and he never even went to Europe, I think, more than once or twice before he ever became president.
Yeah.
And he could have traveled anywhere. I mean, the family certainly has money. They would have sent him anywhere.
Right. But no, the only thing I was just trying to make point of is, you know, in all of his business deals and everything else, he's totally unlucky. Yeah, he became president, but how did he get there?
Well,
I think people just at the time, I don't care who would have been running for in the Republican Party as president, they would have been elected.
I'm not so sure about that. There was a lot of questionable vote tallying, a lot of names scrubbed from the vote polls in Florida that should not have been. And you had the Supreme Court who pretty much bought the election for George W. Bush. That's how he got elected. Larry, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Jeff on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey there. You know, not to bash the guy, but I'm pretty sick of him.
Well, we're all sick of him, and we're stuck with him, and we're allowed to be stuck with him for 4 more years.
Well, you got everybody pulled their head out. You know, it scared the hell out of me in the very beginning of this when we put two oil people in charge of our country. You know, with him and his Vice President Cheney, I mean, both of them are so deep into this, it's ridiculous. And we think that it's like putting the fox in charge of the hen house.
Well, there you go.
And you know,
the two dicks are running things.
Absolutely. And I can't believe that the American people have just laid down and taken this. It just blows my mind. And you know, I'm probably more passionate than most because I just can't stand him. Everything that he's done is so against everything for this country. And it just makes me sick.
Well,
so
it's true, and it's obvious, but my question, and it continues to be a running question, is how come people aren't screaming about it?
That's what I don't get, Enid.
I was in the Bay Area where talk about living in a bubble. The Bay Area is really a bubble compared to people's political sentiments in Colorado, and everybody is sort of on the same page, or at least everybody I know. And I guess they don't feel the need, because they all kind of agree with each other. They don't feel the need to go out and volunteer or register new voters or whatever it's going to take to derail Bush in the next election.
I think the sad part is, and you know, everybody's going to think I'm out of my mind and ask what I'm smoking, but I really, really feel the only way to get him out of there is to put Hillary in.
She's the strongest. She is the strongest candidate the Democrats have, and she's not going to run.
I know. That's what just kills me. Because, you know, regardless of her whole husband and all of that, she is a very smart, very diligent. I love her to pieces. And would love her as the first woman president. I think she'd do a great job.
I think she'd be... Well, I don't know if I love her to pieces, but I think anything is better than Bush, is my take on this.
I agree. But, that's, again, you know, all the men who are still Republicans stuck in there, the women, you know, have no respect in life and should be underneath their men. It's just not going to happen right now. That sickens me.
Jeff, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. We're talking about all kinds of things. We're talking about politics, but as we move closer to New Year's Eve, we're going to be talking about, you know, lighter things and New Year's Eve-y kind of stuff. But here you've got the Borowitz report for today. Headline, Saddam's brother Jermaine speaks out. Appears on Larry King Live. Saddam Hussein's little-known brother, Jermaine Hussein, took to the airwaves last night to offer a spirited defense of his embattled brother on CNN's Larry King Live. Jermaine Hussein, who has not been seen with his brother Saddam since the Hussein so-called victory tour at the end of the Iran-Iraq war, told Mr. King that Saddam was currently undergoing a, quote, trial by media and warned against a rush to judgment in his brother's case. Larry, Jermaine said, when I hear people talking on TV about my brother, I can't believe what I'm hearing. This is not the Saddam I know. Jermaine Hussein called accusations that the former Iraqi dictator persecuted thousands of Kurds very hurtful, adding Saddam Hussein would rather slit his wrists than do that. Larry, Saddam would never do anything to hurt the Kurds, Jermaine Hussein said. He loves Kurds. Jermaine added, now that the U.S. has searched Saddam's presidential palace for weapons of mass destruction, Saddam would never want to live there again. He might visit, but it's not a home anymore, Jermaine said. It's just a house now. In a related story, there was a shakeup in Saddam's inner circle as the Iraqi madman fired his official spokesman and replaced him with Mohammed Saeed al-Sha'af, the former Iraqi information minister. Mr. al-Sha'af, otherwise known as Baghdad Bob, will come on board with the imprisoned dictator after months of working as a media advisor to Hollywood actor Ben Affleck. In a prepared statement, Baghdad Bob said, Ben Affleck is a shoo-in for an Oscar for his amazing performance in Paycheck, the Borowitz Report, 303-382-1150. Liam, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, it's been a while.
It has. Welcome.
I hope we all have a better coming year. Well,
I hope so. I think I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going out on a limb. I'm going to make a prediction. I think it's going to be more and four. I think it's going to be a great year.
I say that every year, but I hope we're right.
I hope we're right, too.
Yeah. But, okay, let me see. Bush. Republicans. Here we go. Have you noticed how they don't want to, nobody's put forth an amendment to the a proposed amendment to the Constitution to eliminate the Electoral College from the body of the Constitution? Isn't that funny?
Well, isn't it funny that nobody's put forth an amendment to the Constitution that the President of the United States has to have some brains? They're all busy concentrating on gay marriage, but nobody's concentrating on brains.
That brings me to my point, you see. The Republicans, bless their little tiny wizened hearts, they're the ones who have been, over the years, proposing flag desecration amendments and so on and so forth. And, of course, this latest little atrocity, which will basically amount to nothing because it's the document's only been amended since the Bill of Rights 17 times. So there's very little chance.
But how come people why aren't people screaming, Liam? That's my question.
Well, see, I'm the pollster, remember?
And I
nobody talks about that. Talk about things like education and jobs and...
When you are polling, what are you polling for?
I poll for, among other things.
What topics?
Well, mostly they're like state and local topics. For example, various states. You know, your governor this, your state senator that. You see. But
all right.
Funny how little certain topics ever come up when we ask people about what are the three biggest problems facing. You know, gay marriage never comes up. You know, they can tell us anything they want, and it never comes up. Isn't that funny? Jobs do. Education does. The environment does. Various other things do.
Do they talk about politics in Washington? Does anybody do it? People talk about the president?
We ask favorable and unfavorable, you know, and it depends on the week. Sometimes Bush gets favorable ratings, and sometimes he doesn't. In fact, the people who dislike Bush, I think, dislike him more than the people who claim to like him, which is kind of interesting. He's easily the most divisive and polarizing president, I think, more than Nixon. I'm quite serious. I remember Nixon. I'm old enough to remember Nixon.
Well, unfortunately, he's too old to remember you, Liam.
But the sad thing is that, again, if we allow this collectively, then we deserve what we get. Unfortunately, those of us who are the other roughly 50% who think this is an atrocity and a travesty, we get dragged down by the rest of them. And you just want to slap people. On the bright side, I have registered 3 people in the past 6 weeks. I worked on some youngins. Mm-hmm. I call them youngins, right?
Mm-hmm.
18 and above, up to about 30, and they actually said, well, you know, what can we do? We can't do anything. I said, oh, yes, you can. And
yes,
I remind them how the 2000 election went. I also said, you know, if you're going to vote against or for a president, everyone always overlooks the one salient fact. Presidents have this one power that's really amazing, and it lasts long after their administrations, the judiciary. If you want to have a little Scalia-Rehnquist cloned Supreme Court, re-elect Bush, or should I say elect Bush, because in my mind...
I know, you meant re-select him.
He didn't get elected in the first place.
Liam, we're going to leave it there, but one quick question. I want to just ask you, as a pollster, are you noticing any mood, or is it an even split, in your view, people who love him and people who hate him?
Well, let's put it this way. Right now, it's still kind of got a bounce, but that bounce is starting to fade, with this Hussein capture.
Well, that's because Hussein didn't send his...
is going down.
He didn't send his brother Jermaine Hussein on the Larry Clean Live fast
enough. That was funny.
Liam, I'm going to thank you for the call.
Take care.
Happy New Year. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday New Year's Eve edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
One side of us says gloating about Greg Dobbs being named Denver's best talk show host by Westword is wrong. The other side of us says, why not? Lucky for us, we listen to both sides. AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
Join the Colorado Symphony Orchestra and pianist Chris O'Reilly for a performance of Prokofiev's Piano Concerto No. 2 on January 9th, 10th, and 11th. This Masterworks performance includes Mozart and more. Tickets available at all King Supers Tickets West outlets and online at www.coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
Some people prefer the right wing. Others prefer the left wing. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. Our diverse lineup of talk show hosts features more viewpoints and perspectives than any other Denver talk station. Join Greg Dobbs from 6 to 10 a.m. Bill O'Reilly from 10 to noon. Enid Goldstein from noon to 3. Doug Kellett from 3 to 6. Dominic and Bill from 6 to 9 p.m. Lionel from 9 to midnight, followed by Alan Combs. Get your side. Get their side. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Greg Dobbs. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
125 on the Wednesday New Year's Eve edition of Enid Live. Oh, what are you going to do? A lot of people are so frightened by terrorism. I'm frightened by the administration in Washington. I think we ought to color code them. Crimson, vibrant red, 303-382-1150. Why aren't people screaming about it? Suzanne, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid. Suzanne?
Hi, Enid.
Hi, welcome.
Thanks. I like your show. I listen to you every day.
Thank you.
But I've come down with the flu, but I want to hear more about who's playing under the covers.
I don't know. We got to get a flashlight.
Oh,
and some
come on.
And some detectives. I don't know. Who's playing under the covers?
Well, you talked about it a few months ago.
Well, all I'm saying is that there, whenever anybody breaks up, and that's the case of Governor Owens and his wife, a man who made his career on family values.
Correct.
And they announced a, quote, trial separation, which I guess they're still trying out. There are inevitably going to be rumors. And it's interesting that when the announcement was made, they never said nobody else is involved. Now, I don't know if, because I think whenever a couple breaks up, for whether permanently or temporarily, people always want to know was somebody else involved. And my understanding is that a call was made, a heads up was given to the publishers of our two major papers, The Rocky and The Post, before the announcement was publicly made. And in that announcement, I have heard that the governor says nobody else was involved. But Michael Tracy, who is a media critic for the Rocky Mountain News, he's a new media critic, and he's a professor, journalism professor at CU, and he has worked at the BBC. He says it's a fair question to ask somebody who, a public official who's made their career on family values, whether or not adultery was involved. And I don't think anybody's had the courage to ask Owens that. So there have been many, many rumors about girlfriends and this and that, and journalism held to a higher standard than talk radio. Almost anything is held to a higher standard than talk radio. They can't go with it unless they have it nailed down. You know, we hear a lot of rumors. Whether those rumors are true or not, we don't know, but there's certainly a lot of rumors out there.
Well, he certainly has been kept undercover, because even in the Daily News, You hardly hear a peep or read a peep about him.
You don't, and you don't hear any blind, you don't see any blind items, and this leads me to my conclusion that Denver is a clubby little place where they're protecting you. First of all, if you are covering the governor, and that's your job, to cover that, that's your beat. The governor is your beat.
Right.
Are you going to ask him whether adultery was involved? Because if he gets furious at the question, he's not probably going to give you a straight answer anyway, but if he gets furious at the question, you will be shut out. And so I'm guessing that reporters are not asking that question, but maybe I'm being unfair to these reporters. Maybe they are asking it. But so far I don't see anything.
I see no
speculation. I don't see any stories about it.
No, because I listened to another talk show one time, and he was a guest on this show, and the commentator said that he was only going to take calls and questions about books. So you tell me if that didn't put us in the correct place.
Well, all right, let me give you a real-life example of how these things work. If you are, I think he comes on Mike Rosen's show on the Walmart across the way.
Yeah, and he said one time about you, somebody asked him about Ina Goldstein, and he said, that's another story.
Well, that was gallant of him. In any event, if Owens is going to come on Rosen's show, is Rosen going to put Owens's feet to the fire and ever hope to have him back again? Of course not.
No, because they eat out of the same dish.
He's not going to ask the question. Owens doesn't want to discuss it. What is he going to say publicly? But I think it's very curious that when this relationship broke up, whether it's a temporary breakup or it's a permanent breakup, nobody said nobody else was involved. That was not part of the announcement. That this is a private matter between the governor and his wife, that no other people were involved, and it's just something that they need to work through. I think it's interesting that that was never part of the conversation, and I think it is a fair question to ask, is there any adultery involved?
Well, if he was a Democrat, you better believe it'd be our business.
They spent $200 million investigating Bill Clinton's penis and about $5 million investigating 9/11, so
right.
I ask you.
Right.
All right.
But I enjoy listening to you.
Suzanne, if you hear anything, let us know.
I sure will.
All right.
Meantime, I'm going to go back under the covers. Bye.
You might find the governor there. Thanks. Happy New Year.
Bye.
303-382-1150. Adam in Centennial. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really looking forward to a new year.
Oh, and hope it's a safe one.
I hope so.
I never got my kiss.
I hope it's a fun one.
I called once before.
Adam, you call all the time. You never got your kiss?
I didn't.
Are you? Oh, you did.
I didn't.
All right, here it goes.
Okay.
Here we go. I think
that's
you
my
just,
New Year's present.
I think you just sweet talked me out of a kiss here, even our cheesy kiss.
You're very sweet.
Well, thank you.
What I wanted to ask you.
I don't think too many Republicans think I'm very sweet.
Oh, well, to heck with them. These Republicans are just being led around by this guy, George W. Dick Bush.
Mm-hmm.
They're just being led around by this
guy. By the way, a lot of people think I shouldn't call him that. Are you among those?
No, very fitting.
They think I'm demeaning myself. I don't know how much more I can.
I don't think so.
I don't know how much more I can demean myself, as a matter of fact.
That's a word that's in our vernacular, so I think it's perfectly appropriate.
Okay.
These people are just being led around. I mean, people I talk to who are conservative, quote-unquote conservative, he is not staying true to his conservative ideals. There's nothing really. Remember the compassionate conservative?
Oh, please. A uniter, not a divider. He's the most divisive president we've had in recent memory. But let me ask you, can you feature any Republican that you know, however disgusted they may be with Bush, voting for a guy like Howard Dean? I'm not sure it will happen.
Oh, no. I mean, if it's Howard Dean, I'm up in the air. I don't know who I'm supporting. I mean, I've gone from Kerry to Clark to Dean.
Adam, anybody but Bush. And don't go go for Ralph Nader, because he was wrong. Well, he was wrong when he said the Democrats and Republicans, it's Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
That's laughable. I mean, there is a stark difference between these two parties. And what I want to know is, why isn't there a Republican who has the same mindset as this Zell Miller who's going around? I mean, Zell Miller went on like every cable show there was to say how he's going to vote for George Bush next fall.
Zell Miller is a turncoat. Well, Jim Jeffords from Vermont, he got treated so shabbily by the Republicans he became an independent and screwed him.
Which was 2 or 3 years ago,
yeah.
I think, right?
Yeah.
But why isn't there a Republican out there? I mean, isn't the conservative paper, the Weekly Standard, isn't that the one with Bill Kristol and all
yes.
those people?
Yes.
I mean, those people are writing these these editorials and things, but why isn't there a prominent Republican who's out there speaking out like this Medicare thing? I mean, this is such a giveaway, and it's making the government huge. What happened to the contract? Why used to call it the contract on America?
Well, that's
what
right.
Happened to the contract?
What
America?
Happened to the Republicans being the party of smaller government, larger
exactly.
government? They have made some of the biggest governmental. Clinton, actually, to his great credit, reduced the size of the government during his tenure, gave us a huge surplus. You know, what part of that did you not like? Adam, I thank you for the call, and I wish you a happy new year. 303-382-1150. Tom, in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, back in, I think it was September or October, during the monthly Love Fest that Mike Frozen has with illustrious Bill Owens,
mm-hmm.
Bill Owens was talking in very favorable...
Which one of them plays the role of Monica?
Well, that I'll have to leave to other speculation.
Okay.
But they were talking about this VA hospital at Fitzsimmons, and Owens was talking it up and speaking very, very favorably about it. And I'm almost at the point where I'm going to have to put my parents into a nursing home. And so I requested some of the literature and have reviewed the literature. But that aside, I guess my question to Governor Owens would be, how does he reconcile his very favorable comments about this nursing facility with what have shown to be some very disturbing results, as quoted in that Rocky Mountain News article?
Well, that's a wonderful question, and if Governor Owens were listening or a guest on this show, maybe he would answer it, but probably you're not. You're going to get mostly a diplomatic and political answer. I think I would think twice before I put my parents into an environment like that.
Well, it would be an absolute disaster. On another subject, more chicken hawks in the Bush administration. That blob that calls himself the Secretary of Energy, Spencer Abraham, another chicken hawk, Andy Card,
uh-huh.
Chief of Staff,
uh-huh.
The Commerce Secretary, Don Evans.
Uh-huh.
And my final point, I really wish Sharon Bush would write an expose, because I think America would get the true picture of Barbara Bush if Sharon would write a book.
You know, you're probably right, but I think they've probably paid her enough so that she's not going to be writing a book anytime soon. Tom, I thank you for the call, and a happy new year to you. 303-382-1150. Donald calling from Munich, Germany. Donald, welcome.
Hi, Enid.
Hi. Are you listening on the Internet?
Listening on the Internet, that's right. I just stumbled onto your show tonight, and I'm sitting here listening to it, and it's great. I love it.
Thank you very much. Why are you part of the military? Why are you?
No, I'm just a regular old American guy working and living over here in Munich.
And what time is it in Munich right now?
Right now it's.
You should be about 8-9 hours ahead of us.
Yeah, it's about 20 till 10. We got about almost 2.5 hours till New Year's.
Till New Year's. Well, thank you very much. Are you calling on your own dime?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
I'm on the late shift at work right now, but I just had to call you and say thank you for your show.
Oh, thank you, Donald.
And I want to let you know that, you know, I get around and talk to a lot of German people over here, and we see a lot of what's going on through the Internet and stuff. And I just wanted to say that the German people in general, they still love the Americans, but they're definitely against this current administration.
I think that's probably true of a lot of Europe.
Yeah.
Well, I wish it were true of this country. Donald, I thank you very much for the call. I hope you'll call us again.
Okay,
and have
a great program.
And have a happy new year.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
Thank you, Donald. Gee, calling from Munich, Germany. Isn't that wonderful? The power of the Internet. I guess ask Howard Dean about that. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday New Year's Eve edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 1:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 45 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Albertsons. Aurora Democratic State Representative Mike Garcia is proposing a bill that would restrict first-year drivers from using cell phones while driving. Garcia's bill will apply to anyone with a learner's permit, not just teens. Garcia says next year he'll also try to pass a law requiring all drivers to use hands-free cell phone devices in the car. A 52-year-old Weld County man is in critical but stable condition following the explosion of a propane bottle at a Weld County motel. The man was apparently trying to light the pilot light on his heater when the explosion occurred. There will be two fireworks shows to celebrate the new year in downtown Denver tonight. The first show at 9, the second at the start of the new year. The shows on the 16th Street Mall will be identical and will each last 12 minutes. In sports, the Denver Nuggets and Colorado Avalanche, both on the road tonight with the Nuggets playing the Clippers in L.A., the Avs in Calgary to play the Flames. Start the new year off right at Albertsons two-day sale going on now with 12 packs of 7-Up or Albertsons soda, your choice, 5 for only $10. Albertsons, helping make your life easier. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:38.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Brenda at Golden Triangle Wines and Spirits is here with me. And, Brenda, I need your help about champagne. For example, I need some good bottles for gifts, an inexpensive one to drink with friends, maybe even an expensive case to throw a party or two.
Well, Doug, I've got sparkling wine and champagne to fit all three of those categories. I've got Paris Cuvée and Nicolas Feuillat, Paul Justine and Raja Colon, and Tino, all wonderful, under $30, in the $10 to $15 range, some Spanish Cavas. Cava is made like real champagne. They require them to use quality grapes, and they do real second fermentation. Alvino Cava, Marques de Galida. And then for toasts, I've also got an inexpensive cava for $6.49 a bottle called Marques de Monastrell. It's a wonderful bottle of wine, wonderful bottle of sparkling.
Wow, Brenda, I knew you'd have the right answer. Golden Triangle Wines and Spirits, convenient location, 12th and Broadway.
Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, where variety, pricing, and convenience intersect at the corner of 12th and Broadway. Call 303-893-8436.
KNRC News Time is 1:39. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Heritage for the Blind. Got an accident on I-25 right at 44th. Watch for that. Also westbound I-70 right at Havana, an accident as well. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. 1-800-2-DONATE or visit taxdeduction.com. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Scott Larimore with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Things are quiet to start the new year for us. Not even any snow tonight in the mountains. Lows in the lower 20s with a partly cloudy sky. Partly to mostly cloudy tomorrow and Friday to start off 2004. Highs both day, nice and mild, close to 50 degrees. For the Weather Channel, Happy New Year. I'm Scott Larimore on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 45 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:40. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
This is Wally Frew of the Frew Law Firm. If you've been injured, you should speak with a lawyer about your rights and find out whether you have a claim against the person who caused your injury. Not every accident is someone's fault, but many accidents are caused by negligence. Your claim is worth looking into. Let the Pru Law Firm help you deal with insurance companies about your medical bills, lost income, and getting a reasonable settlement for your injury. If necessary, we'll go to court with you. The Pru Law Firm handles many kinds of accidents, like car accidents, wrongful death, slips and falls, dangerous products, medical malpractice, and other types of civil litigation. An initial consultation with the Pru Law Firm is absolutely free. I'm Wally Pru, and I will speak with you personally and honestly about your case. If you're looking for a lawyer who will personally work on your case and not see you just as a potential fee, please call me, Wally Pru, at the Pru Law Firm, LLC, 303-893-8331. Again, that's the Pru Law Firm, 303-893-8331.
KNRC Market Watch.
Things are looking up inside this year's final hour of trading. Dow Industrials have turned positive. They're up 22 points now. Same can be said for the S&P 500. It's up 1 point. NASDAQ, though, is down 2. Traders betting you'll pay more to heat the house this winter. Natural gas futures down 41 cents in today's session, but closed the year with a gain of 29%. Mortgage rates inching higher this week. Freddie Mac pegs the average 30-year fixed at 5.85% this week, just about half a percentage point above the 45-year low we hit in June. Freddie's chief economist predicts long-term mortgage rates to hold below 6% for the next several months. This as fewer people shop for new home loans. The Mortgage Bankers Association says applications for purchases and refinancings fell by 9% last week, but that number was also affected by the holiday. Shares of most home builders lower right now. Centex down $1. Beazer is off $1.25. I'm Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Create a photo using an ordinary printer and expose it to water, and you might get something like this. Sad, isn't it? But use an Epson all-in-one and you'll get...
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close as your phone, 303-382-1150. KNRC.
142 on the New Year's Eve edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. I read you the story of the serviceman who has come home blind from his service in Iraq. And now I want to read you a companion story, a different sort of a story. And this is one that goes on a little bit. But let me just give you another kind of a story. These are two young men who stood trembling before Army Lieutenant John Withers, dressed in the rags they'd worn at the recently liberated Dachau concentration camp. So this happened in World War II. Sores pocked their bony arms and legs. Decades later, the lieutenant would remember how their sunken eyes sought mercy. But in 1945, near the end of World War II, they posed a problem. Lieutenant Withers was a black leader in an all-black supply convoy. In violation of Army orders, his men were hiding the refugees. Lieutenant Withers planned to have the strangers removed until he saw them. They stayed with his unit for more than a year, two Jewish survivors of the Holocaust, hiding among blacks from segregated America. The soldiers nicknamed the two Holocaust survivors Pee-wee and Salomon. They grew close to Lieutenant Withers. By the time he bid them farewell, they had grown healthy again. Mr. Withers never forgot them. Over the years, he told and retold their tale to his two sons, and when one son set out to find them, he discovered that Salomon had died in 1993, but Pee-wee, he learned, was still alive. Unlike Mr. Withers, Pee-wee had buried his past. His children and grandchildren knew almost nothing about his time in Auschwitz, Buchenwald, and Dachau. When his grandson asked about the number tattooed on his left forearm, all he could say was, "Bad people put that down." He couldn't bring himself to talk about it. Then John Withers reappeared and changed Pee-wee's life yet again. A bright morning sun shone in the cobblestone square in Poland as the Nazi soldiers separated the strong Jews from the weak. It was October 27, 1942, a scene reported by historians and survivors. The healthy would go to work building bombs for the German. The rest would be piled on a train to the extermination camp at Treblinka. Itzhak Wagensperg gave his 14-year-old son a brick to stand on. He said it would make the boy look bigger so the Nazis might not send him away. The young boy obeyed. Across the square, he recalled, his mother and younger sister disappeared into the crowd. He would never see them again. His name was Mieczysław, but they called him when the Americans found him. They called him Pee-wee. He'd grown up in a red brick house in this industrial town in Poland. His grandfather was a banker. His father had exported timber. After the Nazis invaded in 1939, they moved this boy's family and other Jews into an unwalled ghetto where Jews were expected to step off the sidewalk when Germans passed. They lived there until that October morning when the Nazis tore the family apart in two and put the young boy and his father to work in a munitions factory. In July of 44, with the Russian army approaching, the Germans put the Jews on a southbound train. The boy and his father were deposited at Auschwitz and given blue and gray striped uniforms. From there, the Nazis sent the boy to another camp nearby. His father stayed behind. The boy said goodbye to him for the last time. Late that September, Army 2nd Lieutenant John Withers, then 28, boarded a train bound for a boat that would take him to Europe. Black soldiers rode separately from whites. They stopped in New Orleans. Lieutenant Withers recalled seeing another train carrying German and Italian prisoners of war. Black porters were serving them. He came from Greensboro, North Carolina, where segregation ruled and blacks were expected to step aside when whites passed. Lieutenant Withers knew he was going to war for freedoms he did not enjoy. Still, he recalled, I thought I would be better off if the world subdued Hitler. He had his own dream, leave the South, become a professor, and join the American middle class. He grew up the precocious son of a janitor and a seamstress in a six-room house with three siblings, five cousins, and a family friend. His mother bought the children dress shoes instead of work shoes because work shoes announced that you were poor, her son recalled. If neighbors had a Thanksgiving turkey, the Witherses told everyone they did too, even if their holiday dinner was ham hocks and beans. As a teenager, John Withers developed a passion for opera and carried in his pocket index cards he filled with poems, gospel verse, and snatches of literature. He earned a bachelor's degree in social sciences from North Carolina A&T and then a master's in economics from the University of Wisconsin in 1941. He hoped to seek a Ph.D., but funds were scant, and the Army called. 3 years later, he was helping to lead one of the quartermaster truck companies ferrying supplies to the front lines in Europe. Lieutenant Withers stood apart from the other soldiers. He didn't smoke, drink, or curse. He helped illiterate soldiers ride home. He spent a leave in London, at libraries, and at the theater. He never experienced full-fledged combat. He fretted about returning to Greensboro, where he worried he'd have no job, no money to pursue a PhD, no way to escape the South. A glimmer of hope appeared, the Servicemen's Readjustment Act of 1944, better known as the GI Bill, which was designed to help veterans pay for college. As 1945 dawned, Lieutenant Withers was determined to take advantage of it, but he had to keep his record clean. From his labor camp near Auschwitz, where he had been for 6 months, the 16-year-old Mieczysław, little Pee-wee, who was, I'll call him Pee-wee because his name is kind of hard to pronounce, heard the Russian cannons. In late January 45, the Nazis marched him and thousands of others northwest. He wrapped his shoes in paper bags so he wouldn't slip on the snow. Many who faltered were shot, he later recalled. He wound up in a little camp at Buchenwald. In April, he was loaded onto a snow-filled train that zigzagged through Germany and Czechoslovakia for 3 weeks. He sat on a man who had frozen to death. When he arrived in Dachau, his ribs poked at his skin. He'd been there 2 days when U.S. troops liberated the camp on April 29, 1945. U.S. soldiers moved Pee-wee and other inmates to an abandoned SS barracks near Munich. He recalled one day his only belongings, a few items of clothing, had been stolen. The theft so infuriated him that he left. Dressed in his ragged prisoner's uniform, he walked to another barracks where he'd noticed black U.S. soldiers. He had heard that American blacks were poor and, like him, had faced discrimination. He found members of the quartermaster's truck company washing dishes. Using hand gestures and some German, he made them understand he wanted a job. The men let him help. That first night, he slept outside on a table. The next morning, the soldiers gave him a room with a bed, a bureau, a desk, and a window that looked out on a forest. They fed him goulash and bread, gave him a nickname, Pee-wee, because his name was a mouthful and because he was only about 5 feet tall. Then one morning, the soldiers told him that a lieutenant had learned of his presence, as well as that of another Dachau refugee, 20 years old, whom they had dubbed Salomon. John Withers, who had recently been promoted to first lieutenant, wanted to see them. Quartermaster units had orders to avoid contact with Dachau prisoners. Lieutenant Withers later recalled his superiors worried that supply convoys would pick up diseases and spread them to other Army units. Researchers at the National Archives couldn't locate specific records of such orders, but said other records indicated that the Army brass were acutely concerned about health risks posed by Dachau prisoners. Lieutenant Withers learned that it was especially important for blacks to follow orders in the segregated Army. He recalls worrying that sheltering Dachau refugees might get him a dishonorable discharge, and then there would be no GI Bill for him. He assumed the two refugees were war-toughened men who were exploiting his soldiers' sympathy, so he was unprepared when the soldiers brought Pee-wee and Salomon. The refugees seemed shrunken and frightened, really just boys, he recalled thinking. Pee-wee said that his knees felt weak as he waited for the lieutenant's verdict. He assumed that his immediate family was dead. He was 16. He had no home, no money, no clothing, but what he wore. He wanted no more part of the Allies' displaced persons camp. In the chaos following the war, he had no idea what to do next. Lieutenant Withers assumed that Pee-wee and Salomon would be returned to Dachau, where thousands of former prisoners were still convalescing, according to Army dispatches. He'd been to Dachau on a bread and milk delivery shortly after it was liberated. He'd seen bodies decomposing in an open ditch, smelled the rotting flesh. How could he send them back? Keep them, he recalled, blurting to his men. We're going to take care of them. He struggled to explain after the war why he changed his mind. I think I identified with them very strongly instantaneously, he said. He said he also risked losing face with his men. They were willing to take the chance. If I would have overruled them, I would have been on the wrong side of the decision. The soldiers dressed the young men in fatigues and boots, washing dishes, peeling potatoes, and hosing down trucks with the GIs. Pee-wee and Salomon picked up English, including a few curse words. The soldiers initially paid them with candy and cigarettes, and later with cash. When white officers came around, Pee-wee and Salomon ducked into the mess, a closet, or a truck cab. On supply runs, they burrowed under tarps in the backs of trucks. In one close call, Pee-wee recalled, he hid from a military policeman under a tarp while some GI sat on it. By the fall of 1945, many Army units had become hiring local people so U.S. soldiers could go home. Pee-wee and Salomon no longer had to hide. They were strong enough by then to live on their own. But they stayed with Lieutenant Withers, even as he transferred to a different quartermaster truck company. At religious services, the young men clapped and sang to gospel music. They learned to drive and to shoot. They bartered with farmers for hams, chickens, and eggs. Pee-wee tried baseball, pitched horseshoes, posed in a cowboy hat, and botched a batch of biscuits. Lieutenant Withers bought each a watch, and he taught them the English words to taps. Pee-wee and Salomon spent many evenings talking with the lieutenant. Sometimes he read them the tales of Greek, Norse, and Roman mythology. But mostly, they wanted to hear about the U.S., he recalled later. What kinds of jobs could they find there? How could they get rich? Though he couldn't answer these questions for himself, Lieutenant Withers told Pee-wee and Salomon, get to the U.S. and you'll be all right. He didn't speak of race or anti-Semitism because they didn't need anything negative, he said. Sometimes Pee-wee and Salomon and Lieutenant Withers would sing a German drinking song. It went, and then they give you the lyrics of this. The lieutenant wondered how Pee-wee and Salomon could remain so happy and gentle after what they had endured. They didn't become hateful or hostile in return. They didn't become bitter or apathetic, he would recall. That was something I kept with me all my life. Years later, Lieutenant Withers returned back to the South. He told the story many, many times to his family, but he lost track of Salomon and Pee-wee. His son, who has become a college professor, was so intrigued with the stories that he heard that he tracked down Salomon and Pee-wee, and they had a reunion. Salomon was dead, but Pee-wee was still alive. They had a reunion with now Professor Withers in Pee-wee's home in Connecticut. Pee-wee had become a successful, solid citizen with the whole family. And when they met, tears just ran out of each other's eyes. Five weeks ago, Mr. Withers stepped off another plane in Hartford, Connecticut, not for a reunion, but to bury Pee-wee. Pee-wee died in October. He was 75. He'd been diagnosed with colon cancer in September. Near the end, his daughter said he's a Holocaust survivor, but he can't survive anymore. He got up to give a eulogy. He said, my name is John Withers, and I have known Martin, who was called Pee-wee, but Martin became his American name, longer than anybody in this room. He spoke of how Martin had cheered his men and how his gentle manner would endure in the two families who loved him. And finally, he recited the lyrics to the song that Pee-wee had been taught when he came out of Dachau. The words to Taps, day is done, gone the sun. From the lakes, from the hills, from the sky, all is well. Safely rest. God is nigh. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Soon to be the most listened to station in Colorado. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Larry King. You probably think all juices are about the same when it comes to living healthy. Well, think again, because a study from the USDA found that Welch's 100% grape juice, made from Welch's own Concord grapes, has three times the antioxidant power of grapefruit, tomato, or even orange juice. Not only that, Welch's purple grape juice has more antioxidant power per serving than any of the other fruits and vegetables that they tested too. Who would have thought that living healthy could also taste so good?
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Ronald McDonald House offers comfort, hope, and love by providing a home away from home to out-of-town families receiving medical treatment for their children. They could use your help with donations of non-perishable food items and assistance with meal preparation. Both groups and individuals are needed for volunteer programs. If you can help, please call the Ronald McDonald House at 303-832-2667 or go online to ronaldhouse.org.
Cut through snow and ice easier than ever. Visit your local BMW dealer and ask about the all-wheel drive 3 Series sedans and wagons, X5 and the new BMW X3.
We have word now of a major four-car collision on the westbound side of the Interbelt.
A toxic road spill that has literally shut this road down.
Breaking news.
With winds in excess of 80 miles per hour, now residents have been advised to take precautions.
Beforehand, the team with this kind of record even thought about going to a championship game.
The jury has reached their verdict, and as you know, this has been a very long time.
When there's breaking news, you'll hear it on AM 1150. AM 1150. KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1:56 on the Wednesday New Year's Eve edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And in the next hour, what I would like to do is talk to you about what's gone and not forgotten. And I also like to hear about whatever New Year's Eve plans you have. If apparently there are terror alerts for four major cities where these are no-fly zone, with no explanation as to why, whether we don't even get a basic explanation like, was there increased intelligence chatter, was there a threat from a certain source, We don't know anything about it. All we know is that terrorism is in the news on New Year's Eve. And I'm thinking about some of these bureaucracies, and a lot of these bureaucracies are probably wanting to cover their behinds in case anything terrible happens. So you've got people who are going to be working on New Year's Eve patrolling. You've got gunships patrolling, armed helicopters patrolling the Strip in Las Vegas. I don't know how credible any of this information is. According to some conservative sources, there's precious little intelligence that supports the rise in terror alert levels in general. And why we should be thinking about it on New Year's Eve, I'm not really quite sure. Other than I think we're being manipulated. I think more fear. I mean, I certainly hope nothing happens. And I don't especially think that anything will happen. But here we are with no-fly zones over four major cities. So small planes can't go flying around. New York is one of them. I think Chicago and Las Vegas is one of them. Although, can you imagine the terror? Why would the terrorists want to hit Las Vegas? I mean, Las Vegas is an exercise in terrorism as it is, don't you think? 303-382-1150. So here we are approaching New Year's Eve. What are your plans? Susan, what are you going to be doing New Year's Eve?
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Susan.
We're going to do two things. The fun thing we're going to do is watch It's a Wonderful Life and have a bottle of wine. That's what we do every year.
And after you have that bottle of wine, you don't have to watch It's a Wonderful Life. It'll be a wonderful life, yes.
But we thought, in honor of the heightened terror alert, that we would follow the list that the government says you should do under orange, which is make sure everybody has an escape plan and you have an emergency kit. And you know where to meet. And
oh, and do you have a blue tarp also, just in case?
Well, I don't, but my neighbor has one that's been blown in the wind in the bushes. Maybe I'll go get it.
Susan, I hope you have a wonderful New Year. It sounds very promising.
Thanks for everything, Enid.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
One more hour of Enid Live coming up right here on AM 1150 KNRC. We're going to do Gone But Not Forgotten in the next hour. Hang in there. It's the new year coming.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 45 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Goodyear. A man has been charged with stabbing his girlfriend's 5- and 7-year-old sons. 30-year-old James Leach was charged with attempted first-degree murder this morning. He's also charged with child abuse, resisting arrest, first-degree assault, and committing crimes of violence against minors. Investigators say Leach stabbed the children in their Longmont apartment on December 21st while he was high on crystal meth. One of the boys called police from a neighbor's home. The boys have been released from the hospital. Police investigating whether to recommend charges against the children's mother, Arlene Cordova. A state representative from Aurora says teenagers shouldn't be allowed to dial and drive. Democrat Mike Garcia from Aurora says cell phones are too distracting for novice drivers, and he's proposing a bill to restrict first-year drivers from using them while driving. Garcia's bill will apply to anyone with a learner's permit, not just teens. Currently, Maine and New Jersey have laws prohibiting drivers under 21 from using a cell phone. Garcia says next year he'll also try to pass a law requiring all drivers to use hands-free devices in the car. Another representative from Aurora, Suzanne Williams, says she'll propose a bill next year that would prohibit young drivers from having another teenager in the car for the first 6 months they have a license. Both representatives say the bills are needed because teens only make up 7% of drivers but are involved in 15% of fatal crashes. Similar bills were struck down in session last year. Republicans say it's unlikely the bills will get more support this coming year. The body of a woman killed in a Glendale apartment fire on Sunday has been identified as 46-year-old Nancy Weaver. The Arapahoe County coroner has completed the autopsy on the woman, but won't release the exact cause of death until all lab results are completed. Weaver is the only known fatality from the fire at this point, although investigators are still searching the remains of the building, checking for other possible victims who may have been visiting. The fire destroyed all 58 units of the Spanish Gates apartment complex. Demolition crews are tearing down parts of the structure that are deemed deemed unstable. A 22-year-old resident of the complex has been arrested in connection with that fire. Today is your last day to pay delinquent Denver parking tickets without additional charges. Denver's parking amnesty program ends today. The city started the amnesty program to get more money out of those who hadn't paid their tickets. The city felt that if people could get a break on those fees, they might come back to downtown Denver and shop again, giving even more money to the city's coffers. Officials say there are more than 1 million unpaid parking tickets that have been given out in the city. If the city could get all of those tickets paid, Denver would have more than $45 million in additional revenue. The death toll is rising in Baghdad following an apparent suicide bombing attack on a restaurant in the Iraqi capital. Officials now say at least 5 people were killed, more than 20 wounded in the blast that tore apart the crowded eatery. Santa Barbara County, California Sheriff Jim Anderson denies allegations by pop icon Michael Jackson that he was manhandled while in custody. Anderson says Jackson claimed on the CBS program 60 Minutes of dislocating his shoulder and hurting his wrist during his arrest. He said Jackson claimed he was locked in a bathroom by himself. Anderson told reporters at a news conference today that Jackson was treated with respect and was in no way manhandled or abused.
His treatment by this department can only be described as professional. I'm shocked and troubled by his allegations.
He says Jackson was told he would be placed in handcuffs. He admitted that Jackson told officers that the handcuffs were too tight and was told by officers how to sit to make himself more comfortable while in those handcuffs. As the USDA continues to investigate the nation's first case of mad cow disease, the fallout continues for the U.S. cattle industry. U.S. cattle future prices fell again today, marking the 5th straight days of decline. Prices have dropped nearly 20% since December 23rd when the USDA announced a Washington state cow was infected, with BSE, or mad cow disease. On Wall Street, stocks were mixed toward the end of the trading day today. The Dow up about 23.5 points, the Nasdaq down just over 8 points, and the S&P 500 up about a point and a half. In sports, the Denver Nuggets are in Los Angeles tonight to play the Clippers. Last time the Nuggets and Clippers played in November, the Nuggets came away with a win. Colorado Avalanche on the road tonight as well. They're in Calgary to take on the Flames. The Avs and Flames tied at 1 each when they played earlier this month. Now through January 17th, get up to a $50 cash card with the purchase of 4 selected Goodyear tires. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the retailer nearest you. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
This week on Colorado State of Mind, the Emmy-winning series takes a look back at some of the hottest topics of 2003. Television is becoming more violent and vulgar every day. What started as a cable trend toward programs featuring sex, violence, and explicit language is now a common thread on broadcast networks as well. And it's not just late-night TV. Reality, gross-outs, and bed-hopping 20-somethings are common at all hours. Has television gone too far, or should viewers take responsibility for what they watch? Also, should the church allow homosexuals to serve as members of its clergy? And what about the prisoners at Guantanamo Bay? Should we be allowed to hold people indefinitely without charging them with some crime? Join host Greg Dobbs as he and a diverse panel of guests debate the issues on Colorado's State of Mind Friday night at 8:30 on Rocky Mountain PBS Channel 6. And join the discussion online anytime at rmpbs.org. Watch Colorado State of Mind every Friday at 8:30 p.m. only on Rocky Mountain PBS.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time now to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Metabolife Ultra. We got a bit of a problem. Southbound I-25 at Logan. Sounds like someone dropped a bag of carpet on the road. Watch for that. Westbound I-70 at Colorado. We have an accident. And sounds like someone started their New Year's a little early this year, as we have at Mississippi and Tejon, a car into a building. Planning a New Year's resolution to lose weight, pick up a bottle of Metabolife Ultra and keep that promise you've made to yourself. Metabolife Ultra, guaranteed to work or your money back. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Scott Larimore with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Things are quiet to start the new year for us. Not even any snow tonight in the mountains. Lows in the lower 20s with a partly cloudy sky. Partly to mostly cloudy tomorrow and Friday to start off 2004. Highs both day, nice and mild, close to 50 degrees. For the Weather Channel, Happy New Year. I'm Scott Larimore on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 45 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
As now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
Does everybody have their party hats on? I'm Enid Goldstein. Welcome to Hour 3 of Enid Live on the New Year's Eve edition. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and then I should let you know I'm going to be off tomorrow and Friday. So tomorrow we're doing best ofs, and I don't remember who we're going to be, doing tomorrow. Joe, who are we doing? Ann Garrels and Judy Collins. So these are two wonderful interviews. Judy Collins was just a lot of fun to have. So she's going to be one of the people, I think, interviewed, and Ann Garrels, who had worried all of her friends because she's a reporter for NPR. She'd been in Iraq. She was not embedded on her own. And there was a time when people were worried that she wasn't getting able to get any food and water and so on. They were concerned for her safety. She was had some really wonderful insights about what's going on in Iraq. So those two for certain, and I think probably a third interview that we did. And so that's tomorrow's show. And on Friday, Arnie Grossman is going to be filling in for me. I'll be back with you on Monday. So any loose ends that we want to tie up, we got to do that today and keep the world safe for New Year's revelry. Are you going to, what are you going to do? Is there, who's going down to the mall to watch the fireworks? Anybody? Or are you all going to just stay home? Are the terrorism alerts affecting your behavior one way or the other? They're not affecting mine. The drunk drivers are more affecting my behavior than the that was what terrorizes me. A while ago, some of you may know that I'm also in another life a writer who doesn't have a whole lot of time to do very much writing anymore, or at least not right now. But I did a piece because I realized that suddenly there's a whole universe of items that are gone but not forgotten. The other day, and here I'll read you the piece. The other day, I happened to thumb through a book by Adele Davis, the nutritional guru who died some years ago, embarrassed, I think, that whole grains hadn't kept her alive longer. She mentions a man who was a, quote, streamliner engineer, and who, one day, felt so ill while shopping that he was forced to visit the nurse's office of a department store. I was transported to the past. When was the last time anybody uttered the word streamliner? How long has it been since department stores had nurses on duty? A vanished America. Then recently I was astonished to discover the Tower Records had only a few bins left of vinyl, and now they are missing entirely. Worse, other music stores have stopped selling vinyl altogether. This was unnerving. It couldn't have been more than 10 minutes ago the stores were full of albums, a word that has, faster than a speeding bullet, become extinct. Well, what else has become extinct? If you've noticed, there's no such thing anymore as a house dress, the uniform that indicated a woman had dedicated her life to the eradication of a ring around the collar. Gone are girdles. Instead, through the magic of language, they have been transformed into body shapers. These restrain the calorically challenged on those rare occasions when we aren't enveloped in sweats. For a while there, bras looked like they were on the way out, abandoned to the summer of love, not to mention countless evenings, or later burned. But now they're back in an explosion of color, style, and lace, delicately peeking out from under that pinstripe suit in what the culturally overwrought will be unable to resist calling the power bra. Just about gone is the wooden tennis racket. It is gone. Gone are Kelvinators, running boards, woodies. Gone are most drive-in movies. Gone are the days when killer sex didn't kill you. And whatever happened to Dynaflow or push-button drive? Whatever happened to DeSoto, Kaiser Frazer, Studebaker, Packard, Nash, even Edsel? Together, this herd of America's automotive extinct once roamed the land resplendent in fins, chrome, extravagant horsepower, and infinite possibility. That was before we ever heard of fuel shortages, political correctness, ecology, leveraged buyouts, phone mail, crack, or Toyotas. You've probably been too busy to notice that Hazel Bishop lipstick seems to have kissed us off, and milkmen only exist in jokes about debated parenthood. Philco, Dumont, Hi-Fis, Captain Video, and his Video Rangers are all among the dearly departed, buried in a cultural graveyard that includes Look Magazine, The $64,000 Question, and Buffalo Bob Smith. And nobody's making chicken a la King with quite the same gusto anymore. Maybe no gusto at all. Certainly not in a time of sushi, kiwi, radicchio, and other things that end in vowels and taste a lot better. Can you still buy Carter's Little Liver Pills, I wonder? Or is everybody on Prozac? For a while, convertibles were extinct, but now they're back, never mind that the ozone layer is becoming extinct. If you think about it, a word like streamliner evokes a view of the future that's sleek and, in retrospect, almost naively optimistic. But even a view of the future seems almost extinct when all most of us can muster right now is one day at a time. The future was what everyone looked forward to. But if we think of the future at all now, it's often with a sense of apprehension. So instead, we're retreating to the past for Ovaltine comfort and Howdy Doody reruns. Lately, though, the past has become so commercialized that even nostalgia isn't what it used to be. It was a piece I wrote a while ago for the San Francisco paper, and I was thinking about the things I've collected, a list of things that are gone but not forgotten. I was thinking over the holidays, I forget where I was it Restoration Hardware or someplace, where they have all these retro things, this big emphasis on retro. Which is great, and it's a lot of fun. But you think about it. In the golden age of the U.S., nobody was being retro. And I think that the emphasis on retro means that we aren't creative anymore. We just have to go back and mine the past for stuff because somehow the creativity level isn't what it used to be. Now, you might want to dispute me on that one, 303-382-1150. But I have a list of all kinds of things that are gone but not forgotten. And among them are the unanswered phone, gone but not forgotten. Everybody's got answering machines. Everybody has got, phone mail, whatever. But there's no such thing as the unanswered phone. Very rarely now. Elevator operators, gone but not forgotten. They do have them in a building in San Francisco. They don't actually exactly have elevator operators, but it's the 450 Sutter building, or because there are all these doctors and dentists in it, we call it 450 Suffer. Anyway, there are uniformed, like hostesses, I want to say, who guide you to the right elevator in this Art Deco kind of a building. So they're a bank of, I don't know, 4 or 8 elevators, and they guide you to it, and they don't let the elevator go till it's filled up with people going to their doctors and dentists. The nuclear family, is that gone but not forgotten? I don't know. Men's clubs, is that gone or not forgotten? The menopause taboo, now everybody talks about menopause, a time when women lose their hair on the top of their head but grow a mustache. House calls, is anybody making house calls? So if you have things that you want to contribute to the list of what's special delivery, no such thing anymore. Morse code, I think that might be gone too. I'm not sure. I think it's taps for Morse code. Because there are faxes and there are emails and you don't need to know Morse code anymore, do you? Is there anything that you need Morse code for? So no more special delivery letters. What else is gone but not forgotten? I'm trying to think. Hitchhiking? Handkerchiefs. Oh, all right. Handkerchiefs. Does anybody use a handkerchief? Except for a dress silk handkerchief to make a sort of a sartorial statement. People use Kleenex. Girdles are gone, but not forgotten. Fur coats. Well, they're back, and I don't know if they left Colorado. Fan magazines. Family farms are kind of on the way out. And closed telephone booths, not too easy to find. In fact, it's hard to find payphones generally because most people have cell phones. I don't. I hope not to have a cell phone. I'm happy to be out of touch for periods of time, but most everybody else does have a cell phone, so it's easier for me to be in touch with them than it is for them to be in touch with me. Mike, on the cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Good afternoon, Enid, and I hope you have safe holidays.
Thank you very much.
Part of my call, and your screener explained it to me, was your comment about what you were reading, convertibles, so what the heck about the ozone layer? And I really couldn't see how the two tied together, other than your screener said it had to do with no ozone, hence a much greater possibility of getting skin cancer. Is that what you meant to?
What is this, an exegesis on a piece that I wrote, Mike? Did you call to make a point? The point I was making, and it was just a lighthearted piece.
No, I wasn't trying to.
The point I was making is that convertibles, I'll read you the part that convertibles were becoming extinct for a while, but now they're backed, although it's possible that the let me see if I can find a line. Why did you even have a question about it?
Well, I was just wondering what the point was. The two in what you were reading didn't seem to tie in together.
Can I explain it to you? If you are driving with the top down and there's not much in the way of ozone layer, then what you're doing is you're more exposed to the possibility of getting skin cancer.
That makes a lot of sense.
So there you go. Really, there's the answer to that question.
Okay, now the other part was the creativity issue. We tend to be going back to retro, and I think that that's nostalgic as well. To me, the main
it is nostalgic, but what does that say about the present that everybody wants to go to the past?
And mine
the past in any commercial way that they possibly can. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but we've done it to such a great extent, it has to bring the question up about how creative we are in the present. If we were busy being creative in the present, I don't think we'd be spending so much time in the past. And if we were anticipating the future, if we were happy where we were, I don't think we'd be scrolling back to our past.
Ina, I'm not trying to argue with you, so please... I think that there is some creativity in looking at what was attractive about the past. Now, if we want to look about just the future, I think your example on cell phones is a perfect example. You don't like cell phones. I don't blame you. I'm on one, but I don't blame you. But that's what looking towards the future and creativity has created. So from a standpoint of looking at what were we doing in what a lot of us consider a more
relaxed... Do you consider this a creative time? Do you consider this a creative time?
I do consider this a very creative time.
I mean, except for the Internet, I'm not so sure. I'm looking at music. I'm looking at films which are worse than I can ever recall, most of them being, you know, there once in a while there's a good film around, but a lot of times for all of that incredible effort that goes into making a film, for all of the incredible effects that we now have access to, a lot of films are just terrible, and a lot of books are terrible, too.
Well,
so I don't think this is a particularly golden time for creativity in America.
Enid, I agree with you. Maybe we're looking at different aspects of creativity. Even though I was against the war, am against the war, I'm a Vietnam vet. I have nothing but very strong, good feelings towards our soldiers. However, creativity can also be defined as smart bombs. Creativity can also be defined as new weapons. Creativity can be defined as new jet aircrafts where we have total air superiority. Creativity can be defined as some of technology that exists in the medical field. So maybe we're...
You're right about all of that creativity, and certainly that nobody can argue about the creativity in places like Silicon Valley. But look at what we have become as a culture. Are we a better culture than we were 20, 30, 40 years ago? I'm not so sure about that.
Absolutely not.
I think there's more incivility. When television sets were first introduced, there was very high-level programming, the reason being that the only people who could afford to buy those early TV sets were people who were educated and had money.
And now
television is pretty awful. So in terms of our cultural life, it's true there are a lot of scientific advancements. It's true we're looking at cloning animals. It's true there are a lot of things that have gone on. But as a culture, are we better? Is there more creativity in the humanities, in the arts? I would say no. I would argue not. I would argue that there was a golden age some decades before this one.
And I agree with you very much, and that's why I think we see some creativity by people wanting to go back and watch Howdy Doody.
I think part of that is nostalgia. I don't know how creative it is. I think it's just wanting to go back to the past, and I think it's mining the past for creativity. And I thank you, Mike, for the call, 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Typewriters are just about gone but not forgotten. I have a bunch of old typewriters. And I got a beautiful red Selectric. At the time, Selectric typewriters were considered the best typewriters, and they had great industrial designers designing the first ones, and so they have really rounded curves and everything. But if you go to a thrift shop, a lot of thrift shops won't even take typewriters because there's really no market for them unless you are a collector. If you go to the Press Club in Denver, they have a wonderful display on one wall of old typewriters. They've just used them as design elements, and they've tilted them forward, and they just look great. I happen to... I just love typewriters. I've got to stop collecting them because I've run out of room. But if you, as I say, if you're trying to unload one, there are not too many places, I think, that will take them anymore. And they're good, though, for typing envelopes. I think they do a better job than a lot of computers, don't you think? 303-321-1150. Jim in Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid.
Hi, Jim.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, beg to differ that there's no vinyl available anymore. If you haven't noticed, the entire hip-hop and techno music culture centers around a DJ, which spins nothing but vinyl.
Can you go in and buy that vinyl?
Oh, yeah. Like, up in Boulder, there are, like, three or four record shops. There's a ton of them down in Denver.
Brand new.
All this stuff you can get on the internet.
Yeah, but what, are we talking, Jim, are we talking brand new vinyl or are we talking old vinyl?
Absolutely brand new vinyl as well as old and used vinyl. Like, I just bought my brother a copy of the White Album, Beatles White Album for Christmas, and it was, like, in excellent condition.
How much did you have to pay for that?
That was, like, $25.
Why is there a movement back to vinyl? Because I know people who are really connoisseurs of sound like the sound. They think it's a better sound, a warmer sound, not so clinical as CD.
Yeah, I mean, vinyl is just a pure sound because it's a true waveform as opposed to digital, which is a sample of a wave sound. So that's why people like vinyl better. And as far as DJs go, I don't know. They just like the interaction they get with the vinyl and the creativity they can get.
Well, you know what? I wasn't aware of it because I guess I just gave up and thought vinyl. When I go into places like Tower, do they have vinyl at Tower?
You know, I don't know. I don't go to Tower Records. I don't go to the, Walmart, as it were. So, you know, basically there's...
Joe tells me, my producer tells me that I got to go to a specialty shop to get vinyl. And in the Bay Area, they have tons, since I was just there, they have tons of used record places. Where
I mean, if you support your local music stores, they're always going to have vinyl. I mean, that's what you got to do. Don't support the big corporate stuff. Support your locals. And they're a lot more into the music as well, so they know to tell you what you like.
You know where else you can get vinyl? I think that there is vinyl available in Europe. I think jazz albums, when they're distributed in Europe, there's still some new vinyl that goes there.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the majority of the music I bought in the past year is probably pressed in Europe. And, like, I haven't bought a CD in probably 2.5 years. All I buy is vinyl. And I'm a DJ, so, like, I buy tons of music.
Jim, thanks for the heads up. I appreciate it. And Happy
thanks
New Year. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday New Year's Eve edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Finally, Denver has a talk station it can be proud of. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
Imagine that this blue Danube waltz was a photo created by an ordinary printer. Nice, but add a little water, and the color would run, leaving things a bit muddy. Not so when you use an Epson all-in-one. Because only Epson uses exclusive DuraBright inks for photos that actually resist damage from water on all paper types. So not only will this Danube start off blue, it'll stay that way. To learn more about brilliance that lasts, visit Epson.com.
Starting at around $149, the Epson Stylus CX5400 or CX6400 all-in-ones make perfect holiday gifts for all. See them for yourself at Best Buy. Thousands of possibilities. Get yours.
Wow, I can't believe it. 50 years. Hi, this is Keith Lair with my sister Linda asking you to come see Lair Fireplace and Patio for all your fireplace needs and help us celebrate our 50th year in business.
Lair's is truly a family business. With our brother Ken at our Arvada store at 81st and Sheridan, I'm at our Littleton store on South Broadway, just north of Arapaho Road, and Keith is at our original store in Denver at Holly and Evans.
When our father, Joe Lair, started in 1954, he had a very simple philosophy. Sell quality products and treat your customers fairly. You know what? It's worked for 50 years.
That's why we carry quality fireplaces and inserts from Heat and Glow.
If you're building, remodeling, or converting an existing fireplace to gas, check out the superior construction and efficiency of Heat and Glow.
You know, the fireplace is the focal point of most rooms, so do it right. Don't skimp. Get a Heat and Glow. Our expert installers can give you a free estimate right in your home.
That's Lair Fireplace and Patio, Denver's most trusted fireplace specialist for 50 years.
When I grew up, I want to talk all day.
I want to work for 4 hours a day.
And earn a six-figure salary.
With stock options.
With weekends and holidays off.
I want to be syndicated.
I'll have a limo.
With a TV.
And video games.
I'm going to own my own radio station.
And have salespeople to yell at.
I need more money.
The best talk hosts weren't made in a day. Yet you'll find them right here.
With Payday.
I'm going to be big time, baby.
On AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:27 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're talking about what's gone but not forgotten, and a lot of things are. White gloves. Does anybody wear white gloves? Here are pictures of Jackie Kennedy wearing white gloves. Is anybody doing that except if they go to a very formal event like the... like a prom? And does anybody do that even at proms? Unfixed domestic male animals. They've all been fixed, except for our president. And he's in a fix. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Joe, calling from Bailey. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I called. This isn't the reason I called, but I wanted to mention to you that, you know, when it comes to electronic typewriters, the Selectric is... you know, is a purist typewriter. And I certainly agree with you on that. I don't have a red one. I do have a blue one.
I had a good friend who died, and she had a red one. And when she died, her kids said, "What would you like of mom's?" And I would have loved that typewriter, but I couldn't bear to say it. And she lived so far away for them to ship a typewriter, I thought was really onerous. So one day I found one, probably in a thrift shop, and it cost me a fortune to get it fixed up. And I think of it as sculpture, and that's just the way I display it, as a sculpture.
Well, it's, I mean, they, like I say, it's a purist typewriter because it does exactly what you want it to do. I wanted to mention to you that I do know somebody who buys Selectrics to fix up because banks buy them because no other typewriter will properly go through a multi-part form.
Is that true?
Yes, absolutely.
Aren't banks using everything? Isn't everything on computers now?
No, because the... a lot of these finance forms that they use for installment loans are multi-part forms. And some of them even still have carbons in them. They're not even NCR forms.
Well, see, that's one of the things that's gone but not forgotten. Where can you even buy carbon paper?
Well, exactly.
Or go to a drive-in movie.
Right. But anyway, they're still buying, you know, this guy actually fixes them up and sells them to banks for $400 or $500 a piece.
No kidding.
But anyway.
I paid a dollar for mine at the thrift shop.
Well, then.
But it cost me quite a bit more than that to get it fixed up.
Well, it's still worth it. Anyway, I just wanted to mention to you, I've called you a number of times throughout the year, and we've had some great conversations. And all I really want to say today is thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, thank you from all of us who don't have any other voice except you. And I think this is really important, and I think from your callers, there's a lot of people who feel this way. We're not ditto heads, and we're not the stupid white men, or stupid white women, for that fact, you know, for that matter. And that's really all I wanted to say. And I'm really looking forward to next year. I'm looking forward to all of what you're going to say, and I think the difference that all of us can make. You made a point not too long ago that only about 10% of people who listen to radio programs actually call in.
It's not even 10%. It's less than 1%.
Right.
What the estimate is, I mean, we'll never know exactly who's listening, how many are listening. But the law in the business, the number that's used in the business, is that less than 1% of the listeners ever call a radio show.
Well, then you should realize what a tremendous positive that is for you, for all the people then who must be listening, when you multiply out that if it's only 1% of us who are calling in, that you have a tremendous audience, and I think a much bigger audience than even you think. You know, there's a lot of us out here, and it's the only thing that gives me hope toward next year and toward the elections, is that we're going to have a tremendous turnout of people who don't normally come out to vote. And as I always say to you, it's not an issue of changing the ideas or the minds of stupid white men. It's getting the rest of the people out to vote who don't normally vote to make the difference.
Well, I hope you're right about that, and I thank you. I'm blushing for your compliments.
Well, thank you again.
I really can't do it without everybody's help and everybody's participation. So I can't. The show doesn't really flow so well if nobody were to call, and it wouldn't flow at all if nobody were to listen.
Well,
so I cannot do this thing by myself.
Well, we'll be here if you're there.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that. Thanks very much for your call. Happy New Year to you, too. I hope that I would like very much, and I think a lot of us deep down in our hearts would like very much, to be engaged in something that we can really all get into together. One of the things, if you listened yesterday, I had Marion Cunningham on, who is an old and dear and beloved friend of mine, and she's about 82 now. She has written her newest cookbook. It's called Lost Recipes, and she talks about how we've really lost something because families don't eat together anymore and everybody's eating takeout and nobody knows how to cook, and a kind of decline of the culture and a decline, really, if you think about it, of connection. So as we're contemplating the new year, I think one of the things, human beings are such social animals. We are so social, and yet we're living in such, we're living very in a disconnected way, a lot of us, from each other. Because our lives are very busy. Our lives are very complicated. And to be able to work together on something for the greater good is extremely satisfying. No, and the Christmas holidays, people start to think about volunteering and doing things that they don't think about the rest of the year. There's just something in the air. So a lot of us talk about volunteering and have actually volunteered at soup kitchens and so on. But, and when you do that, you think that you're helping somebody else. But the truth of the matter is, if we're really being honest, you're also helping yourself because it feels good to give. It really does feel good to engage in some meaningful activity that might have a positive effect on somebody else. There's no question about that. And after 9/11, there was such a wonderful opportunity that was lost. People really wanted to come together and do something. I think anybody would have done anything that they could have possibly been asked to do, staff a center, do some kind of hands-on thing. And the only directive we got from the government was go shopping. That was it. So in this coming year, when we have, I think the fate of the country is at stake, and I don't believe that that's an overstatement. I think we have in some ways crossed the Rubicon, and I hope we can cross it back again. I think the country's headed in a bad direction with this crew in the White House. They're taking us down a very bad path, and we are not going to have a country as we know it. And I think we are in decline. And the more those people are in charge, the more decline we are going to be in. So if people could come together and feel like this was a communal activity to restore what this democracy is based on and restore the level and quality of leadership the great nation needs and deserves, I think it would be a great community enterprise, and I'm willing to be part of it. 303-382-1150. Peter, calling from Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid. Happy New Year's Eve.
Thank you, Peter, and to you, too.
Hey, just wanted to make a comment. I heard a caller a couple calls ago talking about vinyl. I used to sell real high-end audio. I mean, like $4,000 CD players, $15,000 speakers, and I'll tell you, a very well-built turntable and a good record outperforms a cheap CD player any day. And I had people that were skeptics and would scoff at that, oh, you guys are just nostalgic. I said, no, it's got nothing to do with nostalgia or personal preference. Listen, and I would play them the same thing on CD and the same thing on vinyl, and their jaws would just drop, and they could not believe it. Plus, NPR's got this great thing they've been doing for a while on, I think, the Sunday edition, which is a little segment on LPs that never made it to CD, and they talk to these record reviewers. And I went to this place in Boulder. There's a great place called Bart's CD Cellar and Record Shop, and I bought a copy of the Buckingham Nicks album, which is Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks. It is not available on CD. It's one of the best records in the history of rock and roll. And a lot of people are denying themselves, number one, the opportunity to get some really great music that just never made the transition to CD. And number two, realize that, yes, records sound good if you actually invest in a good quality turntable.
How much will it cost you to get a decent turntable? And what do you need, a decent turntable, speakers, what else?
Well, one of the myths in the audio industry is that the speakers are the most important part of your system because that's where the sound comes out. The source of the signal is the most important part of your system, whether it be a CD player, a tape deck, or a turntable. And there are some, you know, a decent turntable is going to start around, you know, in the $300 range. And unfortunately, because it's kind of a niche market, there aren't too many people that retail them anymore. But it's something that people really ought to experience. Plus, I have bought used albums that are, like, flawless. They don't have a single scratch or blemish on them, and people just took them in to sell them to get money to
Oh, I know. Here's because when everybody was converting their vinyl to CD, you could walk into thrift shops, you could go to the Salvation Army, you could go to flea markets, and you would have your pick of some really tasty stuff, and it was 50 cents, 25 cents, a dollar.
You could get something that would cost you $16 in a CD for, like, $3.50 or $5. It's in perfect condition. You just need a decent turntable to play it back on. And like I said, if you just invest a little bit of time looking around, there's just a huge wealth of great music out there. And plus, the thing, remember, I don't know how old you are, but I remember I'm of the age where you could just sit back at a friend's place and stare across the room and look at all the spines of the record albums and instantly tell what album was what. You can't do that with CD anymore. There's not only the musical legacy that's been lost, but remember all the great album art. Plus, look at some of the albums that made the transition to CD, like the Little Feat live album, Waiting for Columbus. A lot of the best cuts they cut out just to be able to squeeze everything onto the CD. So not only...
You're really getting an edited version. We're going to have to leave it there, Peter. I thank you
all
very
right,
much for the call. Happy New Year.
Bye.
303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday New Year's Eve edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 2:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 45 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Metabolife Ultra. 30-year-old James Leach has been charged with attempted first-degree murder, child abuse, resisting arrest, first-degree assault, and committing crimes of violence against minors. Investigators say Leach was high on crystal meth when he stabbed his girlfriend's 5- and 7-year-old sons. A 52-year-old man was flown to a Greeley hospital after suffering third-degree burns over his entire body when a propane tank exploded at a Weld County motel. Investigators say Johnny Weber was trying to light a pilot light on his heater when the explosion happened. Denver says goodbye to 2003 and hello to 2004 with two fireworks celebrations on the 16th Street Mall tonight. The first of the identical 12-minute shows starts tonight at 9, while the second show will be at midnight. In sports, the Denver Nuggets and Colorado Avalanche both spend New Year's Eve on the road, with the Denver Nuggets playing the Clippers in L.A., the Avs skate into Calgary tonight to play the Flames. Making a New Year's resolution to lose weight? This year, count on Metabolife Ultra to help you succeed. Metabolife Ultra, from the leader in weight loss, Metabolife. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:39.
Jim Conder here, talking with Bev Rouleau from International Optique. Bev, fashion eyewear the best in the city, and now a sale. Bev, what's up with that?
Jim, International Optique is having our annual sale now through January 15th, and it's a blowout.
I know the details. If you purchase prescription frames and lenses at International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University and Orchard, you receive a 25% discount.
It's a family affair at International Optique. Just bring your family and friends. Everyone receives 25% off their new frame and lenses.
And don't forget to use your Flex dollars while saving money. If you run out of time to use your Flex dollars, come in for a gift certificate to be used later.
Jim, the excitement about International Optique is that we carry frames with a little attitude or a lot of attitude. Either way, let our staff make sure you walk out looking beyond fabulous.
For the best in eyewear in Denver, join International Optique at Tamarack Square or International Optique at University in Orchard now through January 15th for their spectacular 25% off prescription frame and lens sale. It's not what you know, it's who you know, and we know International Optique.
KNRC News Time is 2:40. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Albertsons, and we got a couple problems off freeway. Jewel and Wadsworth watch for an accident, and they are still trying to get the car out of the building to which it went into earlier today. Start with New Year off right at Albertsons. Two-day sale going on now with 12 packs of 7-Up for Albertsons soda. Your choice, 5 for only $10. Albertsons, helping make your life easier. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Scott Larimore with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Things are quiet to start the new year for us. Not even any snow tonight in the mountains. Lows in the lower 20s with a partly cloudy sky. Partly to mostly cloudy tomorrow and Friday to start off 2004. Highs both day, nice and mild, close to 50 degrees. For the Weather Channel, Happy New Year. I'm Scott Lauriamore on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 45 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Nina Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
Don't miss one of R&B's most popular vocalists live in concert with the CSO. Lou Rawls performs for the first time ever with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra on January 2nd and 3rd at Betcher Concert Hall. Tickets available at all King Supers Tickets West outlets and online at www.coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's major averages wrapped up a very good year in mixed fashion. This followed a report showing weekly jobless claims falling to a nearly three-year low. Let's take a look at the numbers. The Dow Industrials rose 29 points to 10,454. The NASDAQ slid 6.5 points to 2003. The S&P 500 added 2 points to 1112. Big board volume was light, about 978 million shares traded hands. Decliners beat advancers by roughly 6-5 margin. Merck, the Dow's top percentage gainer, rising 1.5%. Merck also has resubmitted an application to sell its arthritis drug Arcoxia in the U.S. It's already sold in 38 countries. And a Florida appeals court has reversed the lower court ruling certifying a class action lawsuit against Philip Morris. This concerned light cigarettes. Philip Morris' parent Altria rose 39 cents a share on the day. I'm Steve Orr from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Closes your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
244 on the Wednesday, New Year's Eve edition of Enid Live. It's not sunny right now. It's kind of, kind of neutral outside, but very pretty in a cold sort of way. I have to tell you, having been in California over Christmas, I came away with more observations on the differences between California and Denver. In California, I would say, there are a lot of things I can say, but one of the things I really noticed in San Francisco this time is that the self-absorption rate is really off the charts in the Bay Area. What's very nice about Denver is that people are friendly, and there's a solidity here that I like a lot. And also, I really like the weather. I thought it was going to be Eskimo land here before I moved here. And the weather is wonderful. And I love the contrasts are much more bolder than they are in California. More subtle contrasts in California. It was cold and rainy while I was there for part of the time. But here, it's nice and crisp, and the possibility of snow is always semi-thrilling. I don't know, unless you have to really be in it. 303-382-1150. John on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Happy New Year.
Thank you, and to you too.
The reason for my call is I've been listening to you for quite a while now. I want to preface this by saying that I am a staunch Republican. But I wanted to say that I appreciate your viewpoints, and I appreciate the dialogue that you are creating with everybody in Denver and in Colorado. And I think that's exactly what we need. I think that in some respects, a lot of people are fairly apathetic about the political process, and they don't do their part by voting or getting involved. And I just want to call and thank you for doing your part, even though I don't agree with some of the things that you say. And
well, let me ask you about that, because that surprises me. Here you are, a Republican, and you're thanking me, so thank you for thanking me, and thank you very much for listening. I appreciate it tremendously. But why do you? Is it that it just gives you something to fight against, or explain to me why you are listening.
Why listen? Well, that's a great question, and I listen because I think that the best way to have, or the most intelligent form of dialogue, is when people understand not only their side of the issue but the other side as well, and they're open-minded about things. So I try to be in conversations with people in my own family who are even Democrats, as well as some friends of mine. I just try to educate myself with the issues.
What are you going to do in the next election? Are you happy? I assume that you voted for Bush in the last election.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
What are you going to do it again in the next?
I think I am. You know, and I don't say that blindly. I don't say that without really looking at things that have happened in the past year. I mean, am I happy about going to war in Iraq? I'm not. I mean, I would have rather avoided war. Of course, I would have. I think that, you know, personally, Bin Laden's more of a priority than Iraq is at this time. I'm sorry, at this time. But
well, I agree with you there.
But you know, things happen, and I don't want to sound brush that off. But unfortunately, things happen. We are where we are. We have to make the best of the situation. You know, I'm also pro-choice. So, you know, there are some things that I don't agree with the Republican Party on, and there are a few things that, conversely, I would agree with the Democratic Party on. But, you know, a majority of me just believes that, and I know you think the country's going in the wrong direction. I think that there are a lot of positive things that are happening. I think that, you know, 9/11 changed a lot of the way that we think and a lot of things that have happened to us as a country.
But what are some of the positive trends that you see going on?
Well, just take a look at the economy. I mean, I think the economy is heading in the right direction.
It has nowhere to go but up. And with all due respect, John, I mean, it's been a hideous, and this is an administration that inherited quite a good surplus.
But it also inherited a recession, too.
Well, but the decisions that the administration made and to go into historic deficit spending to give you a tax cut when we're fighting a war, and usually you raise taxes in times of war, at the time when they've consolidated into a bigger government, these are not good and wise decisions for the country down the line.
Sure, but I mean,
even John McCain, who I don't agree with him on a lot of things, but I respect him, and
sure.
I respect his service to this country and what he had to go through. Even he says we're spending like a drunken sailor.
Oh, and you're absolutely. I mean, you're correct on that point. I mean, there's no denying the fact.
So these are not solid, wise economic decisions. So people say, well, it's turning around. Well, it is kind of turning around. Paul Krugman says it's not really gonna. It looks a little bit perkier than it appears to be in his view.
But you know, I think even you know Robert Reich, who is I believe the Secretary of Labor for Bill Clinton, even says he wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal on December 26th saying that you know what's going to start following is you know greater job opportunities for Americans. That you know things are starting to, and of course new jobs are a lagging indicator of a recovering economy. And granted, that there's a tremendous amount of spending, but I think that goes back to my original point, in it, which was. You know, 9/11 changed a lot of the way that things are happening in this country, and a lot of that spending is on defense. A lot of that spending is on Homeland Security. So, you know, if you take that out of the
there isn't a whole lot on Homeland Security. A lot of states, for example, Colorado is starved for monies for Homeland Security. We don't have much money for it. The monies are going elsewhere. I don't know where they're going. They're going to fight the war in Iraq. They're going elsewhere. But we are, as a nation, I believe, we're starved also. For the appropriate budgets, the various states are starved, so that you have some, as I've said many times before, there are some jurisdictions that don't even have the money for hazmat suits. See, this is very sad to me. I think that this has been an utterly misguided. I have no quarrel with going to war against the people who have done us the harm.
Sure.
But it wasn't Iraq. And so to deploy our considerable resources to fight a battle that didn't have to be fought is, to me, the height of stupidity and moral irresponsibility. Go after the, whether it was the Saudis, whether it was the terrorism got fomented in Pakistan, whether it was Osama bin Laden, you find him and you go after him. And
sure.
You don't rest until you do get him.
Well, then you and I agree on that. I mean, I think that should have been our number one priority. And to be very honest with you, I'm a little disappointed that, in my own personal view, that it's taken a little bit of a back burner to the war in Iraq.
Well, I thank you, and I thank you, John, for listening. I really appreciate that you do, even in spite of our differences. And thank you for the kind words that you said. I appreciate
them.
I hope you have a wonderful New Year.
Well, you too, and thank you very much for everything.
You're welcome, John. Thanks. 303-382-1150. What are you hoping for in the new year? I guess we're all hoping for the same things. We're all hoping to overcome whatever the obstacles have been in our lives. We're all hoping for a fresh start, a new day before the pile of bills come in from Christmas excess, and you wonder, has the holiday season, is it almost over? Did it happen while I was asleep? What's the story here? So I hope that there's time. I know a lot of people have New Year's Eve plans tonight. I hope, remember, you can get a free taxi ride for up to $50 worth if you go to Union Station tonight. And I think you can get free rides on RTD, light rail, buses, and so on. So be responsible. Have a lot of fun. Kick up your heels. But also make some time to contemplate the future, how you spent the last year, how you can improve things in the coming year. That would be a good thing to do, don't you think? 303-322-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
A station built by Coloradans for Denver and Colorado. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Brenda at Golden Triangle Wines and Spirits is here with me. And, Brenda, I need your help about champagne. For example, I need some good bottles for gifts, an inexpensive one to drink with friends, maybe even an expensive case to throw a party or two.
Well, Doug, I've got sparkling wine and champagne to fit all three of those categories. I've got Paris Cuvée and Nicolas Feuillat, Paul Justine and Raja Colon, and Tino, all wonderful, under $30, in the $10 to $15 range, some Spanish cavas. Cava is made like real champagne. They require them to use quality grapes, and they do real second fermentation. Alvino Cava, Marques de Galida. And then for toasts, I've also got an inexpensive cava for $6.49 a bottle called Marques de Monastrell. It's a wonderful bottle of wine, wonderful bottle of sparkling.
Wow, Brenda, I knew you'd have the right answer. Golden Triangle Wines and Spirits, convenient location, 12th and Broadway.
Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, where variety, pricing, and convenience intersect at the corner of 12th and Broadway. Call 303-893-8436.
Listen up, men. Insight, the once-a-day tablet for natural male enhancement, powers into 2004 as a NASCAR team sponsor. And now, while supplies last, Team Insight is giving away free 30-day samples. To get a free 30-day sample box, just log on to 4insight.com. That's the number 4, E-N-Z-Y-T-E.com. Or call 1-800-778-5290. Look for the number 50 car and experience natural male enhancement with a free sample box of Insight. Call 1-800-778-5290. 1-800-778-5290.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Experience the timeless tale of ambition, manipulation, murder, and retribution. William Shakespeare's Macbeth, produced by the Shadow Theater Company, plays Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays until November 1st at the Mizell Center for the Arts and Culture, located at 350 Dahlia Street in Denver. Produced in the traditional manner with period costumes and dialogue, the diverse and multicultural cast demonstrates Shadow's commitment to explore our common heritage. For reservations, call 303-837-9355.
Cut through snow and ice easier than ever. Visit your local BMW dealer and ask about the all-wheel drive 3 Series sedans and wagons, X5 and the new BMW X3.
You're listening to the award-winning AM 1150 KNRC. We've been honored by the Colorado Broadcasters Association with 4 awards of excellence and by the Associated Press with 7 awards for excellence in news coverage, including one for Best Radio Newscast in Colorado, plus Westward and Greg Dobbs, Denver's Best Radio Talk Show Host. KNRC is the youngest station in Colorado to achieve these prestigious honors. The award-winning AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, I'm Dominic Brascia.
And I'm Bill Thorpe.
Join us weeknights from 6 to 9 here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:55 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, which is less than 5 more minutes. This is the New Year's Eve edition of Enid Live. I hope you have a fabulous New Year's Eve. Tom, calling from Colorado Springs. How are you live with Enid?
Hey, two things.
Yeah.
First one of the things that we've lost is politicians that are responsible to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Or responsible politicians. The other one, I'm beginning to think that maybe the terrorists are a little smarter than we think, and they may be winning. You know how we won the Cold War?
How?
We outspent the Russians. We caused them to go broke. What are the terrorists doing to us? They're making us spend $1 billion a week on Code Orange, $200 billion on Iraq. Can we keep that up? And are they playing us?
Well, I also don't like, I mean, you make a good point about spending, but I also don't like the fact that we are somehow behind the eight ball. We're behind the curve here. We are, they shoot, we dance. It's New Year's Eve, and there are armed gunships that are going to be patrolling the strip in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. That there are four cities with no-fly zones, so they scare us on the one hand and then tell us to carry on as normal on the other hand. And it's a kind of skitsy message that we're getting.
You know, I think I could have figured out a lot better ways to spend $187 billion or whatever it is now for Iraq with Homeland Security. Security in ports, aircraft, all kinds of things.
I'm with you on that. I think they have not lived up to their responsibilities. Tom, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Hal calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Happy New Year, Enid.
Happy New Year to you too.
Hey, just a little ironic. It's you know, you say we don't have money for hazmat suits, then on the other hand you say there's no weapons of mass destruction or chemical weapons and stuff. How do you explain that?
Well, we haven't found them in Iraq, but that doesn't mean they exist. They don't exist in other places. And if we're on high alert, any kind of terrorist activity could happen. It seems like you'd want to have the right
so
precautions.
You are worried about weapons of mass destruction, then.
Well, what does that have to do with anything, Hal?
Tell me what the
point you're making, because you don't see the distinction.
I always hear that they haven't found any weapons of mass destruction, and then. Like they don't exist, and then you say, well, we don't even have any hazmat suits, which they do, you know. The Highway Patrol has many, many.
Hal, let me ask you a question. Does North Korea have nuclear weapons?
I'm sure they do.
Of course they do. It's been reported that they do.
Right.
Does Pakistan have nuclear weapons?
Yes, they do.
Of course. So these are why you want to have hazmat suits. And does Iraq have nuclear weapons?
I don't know.
Oh, the reason that we went to war. They didn't find any nuclear weapons in Iraq.
Well, okay, the terrorists have the weapons then.
Well, but what is you're trying to paint two things together and you're not doing it. You're not.
I think I'm doing a good job.
Actually you're not doing a good job. But in spite of that, Hal, I'm going to wish you a happy new year.
You too.
And I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. We're coming to the end of the show, and there are a lot of people that I want to thank. I want to thank Steve for keeping us on the air just barely today, and Joe Anderson for doing a wonderful job of producing as always. And I want to wish all of you a new year rich in blessings. A time when you try to reflect, if you can, in the midst of all of the New Year's madness about what you want to accomplish in the coming year. I'm going to be off tomorrow. We're going to be doing a best of, and I'll be off on Friday. Arnie Grossman will be filling in for me, but I will be back with you on Monday, noon to 3, right here on AM 1150 KNRC. I hope you do something generous, even in the midst of New Year's Eve madness. Try to leave the world a better place than you found it. Doug Kellett up next. And Dominic and Billy tonight from 6 to 9. Doug Kellett from 3 to 6. And I'll see you in 2004, more in 2004, noon to 3 on KNRC AM 1150. Onward and upward. Have a fabulous time tonight. I'm Enid Goldstein. See you next year.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 45 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by BMW. The city of Denver helps ring in the new year with a couple of fireworks shows tonight along the 16th Street Mall. The first will be a 9 p.m. show with a second identical 12-minute show at midnight. It's going to be tough to find parking, though, downtown, so alternate ways of getting to downtown Denver are highly recommended. As expected, law enforcement agencies will be out in force tonight, catching anyone who gets behind the wheel after having too much to drink. During last year's holiday season, 16 people were killed in Colorado, so more than 1,300 officers from 73 agencies across the state will be on the prowl for drunk drivers. RTD is offering an alternative to driving under the influence. They're offering free bus service and light rail rides. Free rides start at 8 this evening, run until 3 o'clock in the morning on New Year's Day. Yellow Cab also giving free rides up to a $50 fare to anyone 21 and older who may have had too much to drink. 11 new Colorado laws take effect tomorrow. Among them, men will now have to prove that they have registered for the military draft before they can get into state colleges and universities. The state database listing child abusers is gone because it listed so many people who didn't belong there, and repeated attempts at reform have failed. Also, now if patients ask, hospitals will have to quote a price for routine operations. Xcel Energy is now admitting that